Around Comics, Episode 41.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Hello again.
Our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters, is actually not here this week. He is vacationing up in Door County with his lovely girlfriend, so we hope that Tom is having a great week.
Good luck antiquing, Tom. Hope you find that hutch of your dreams.
But we found some more than able-bodied fill-ins for Mr. Caters. I'm going to start to my left here. The host of one of our favorite podcasts, Word Balloon, is our good friend, Mr. John Suntress.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Anytime, John. And next, the host of one of our other favorite podcasts, The Crankcast. What happens whenever you take comic books and Seinfeld and mix them together? You get The Crankcast.
Really?
And here's the host,
Actually, you
Crank.
Something better than The
Crankcast.
Chris Crank, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I got nothing.
Just
thanks
like
for coming, Chris.
I'm all right, though.
Electric. It's electric, I tell you.
And finally, we have the other half of The Crankcast, one of the true up-and-coming talents in the world of comics, currently working on Runaways, among other titles, Mr. Mike Norton.
Hello.
Yay.
All right. Our topic this week was inspired by a forum post. We love the great posts on the forum, and they do turn into show topics. So the question of responsibility for Marvel and DC to expand the comics medium by producing comics outside of the superhero genre was raised. I thought it was a perfect topic for the show, and we'll get into our main topic in just a minute. But first, I would like to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by YouBuyNow.com. Sal, can you tell the fine folks about YouBuyNow.com?
YouBuyNow.com, your spot on the web for toys, action figures, collectibles, and prop replicas. Check out their excellent selection of DC Direct, Marvel Legends, Master Replicas, Star Wars figures, and more. That's YouBuyNow.com. And now the good folks at YouBuyNow.com are offering a 10% discount to all Around Comics listeners. Just use the coupon code AROUNDCOMICS when placing your order and receive an additional 10% off. YouBuyNow.com, check them out today.
All right, definitely check out YouBuyNow for all those goodies out there. I got to get my order in for my masked Captain America, so those icon figures, which I can't find. So
you are such a geek.
I am a geek.
God, why do I hang out with you? Don't answer that.
I would like to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9 at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by and say hello. We would love to meet you. We have our July-August contest. I believe we have, a week left on this guy?
Yes, all right. And it's heating up. The entries are flooding in. I think we have four. No,
we have eight?
No, more than that. Actually, I got a couple today. The contest is Right Tom's Comic. We took a page from Green Lantern number 6, removed all the letters from the word balloons, and you have to fill them in to Right Tom's Comic. Tom will pick a winner, and you win a trade, $24.95 or less, plus 10 hand-selected quarter books by Tom Caters himself.
That's a lot of responsibility for Tom.
Tom's got to, we're trying to push Tom a little
bit. Tom's doing more than just showing up these days.
Man.
You can go to our website, aroundcomics.com, under the show menu. There's a contest page, and it'll give you all the details there.
All right.
Why don't we have contests, Craig?
I don't have any either. Don't even worry about
that. I was just thinking that, I was just thinking that actually doing this from a comic shop is probably a lot more conducive to actually talking about comics, Mike.
It's easier to think of what to talk about when it's right in front of you.
I'm staring.
Yeah, the 57 long boxes in your studio doesn't feel like a comic shop at all.
I'm not staring you in the face, though.
Well, I know I did. We did get the press release last week that the Crankcast is officially a comic book podcast. For anyone that didn't know, that was released last week. So that makes 94 comic book podcasts.
Does Jenny saying it in an intro actually qualify as a press release, though?
For me, it does. It's, you know, we're around comics. We'll take pretty
it
much
was
anything.
Emailed to millions.
Well, okay. I figure we have a loophole. I mean, we're maybe not actually a comics podcast we work in comics.
We don't like to commit to one thing or the other. That means we'll actually have to produce.
I enjoy the 80s conversation of television and DVDs and stuff as much as I do the comic talk, man. I know.
That's because I don't leave the house and I get to watch a lot of this
That's
stuff.
Good, though.
You can either find out about what's going on in the comics industry or what's on Crank's Netflix queue.
Tabor's mostly.
Mostly Tabor's in mine. He doesn't have... He just watches MeTV all the time.
I like that, too. Man. Party Miller on Sundays, man. I'm very happy when that comes out.
Don't start. This will end up being another 3 hours.
Yeah, we're going to end up sending you the audio file, and this is Crankcast number 51.
Crankcast on the road.
No one turned
Simulcast. No, our hotline, go to the...
1-888-65-GCAST. Call it. Leave us a message.
Yep.
They got a hotline, too, Crank.
What are you looking at me for?
Man, what a loser you are. Why can't you do this for us?
I feel the same way. Have you gone to their website? Jesus, man. I'm serious. It's like, I got this like 10-cent whistle show and everything. And they're like bells and whistles and, the phone line. And here's our contact.
We have space-age whistles.
I'm well aware, man. You put us to shame.
Vote for us at Podcast Alley if you have a chance. And my favorite iTunes reviews, go to the iTunes Music Store, look up Around Comics, and leave us a review. I really appreciate it. You guys have been great. Actually, I'm three more. We're at 37. I want 40.
40 is the magic number.
40
for
is the magic
You'll be
number.
Happy. You'll
I
leave it alone.
Oh, 40 reviews?
Shut
40
up
reviews.
About it.
Okay.
And I may shut up about it at that point.
That's cool.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I left a review for the Crankcast.
This is the Crankcast for you.
This is very educational for Chris.
What's a computer?
Notes.
You haven't read my review for Crankcast?
I actually have iTunes.
He doesn't
installed.
Use iTunes. He so makes me look at
it. You have a podcast!
But I don't like iTunes.
Hey, see? It's
well,
the man.
You know, that may be why we weren't listed for like 6 months.
Steve Jobs heard him.
But ironically, like when we first started our show, I went to the Crankcast website and I'm like, wow, there's some cool stuff on here these guys are doing. It was like I learned, how to actually link to get people to subscribe to iTunes from your website. Yeah. So
that's because I told him we had to do that. If it were up to him, he would have had like a little screw you iTunes little bug on there.
Just be him and McKeever and Seeley listening to the Crankcast.
Well, that's what we thought it was actually.
It's not that I don't like the store. I just don't like the software.
I understand.
It takes over your computer. You
That's
know?
True.
All of a sudden, you're growing apples and
tin foil hat man.
Nice. I do have a couple quick shout outs, and I swear to God, we'll get to the main topic. Matt Kramer, Darth Kramer on the forum, is doing an AIDS walk in Wisconsin. We made a sticky thread on the forum. Please, if you have a chance, go to the forum at aroundcomics.com. It links to Matt's AIDS walk. If you can donate to that, I would appreciate it. Matt would appreciate it. It's a great cause, and we really appreciate Matt being a great person and doing that. So if you have a chance and a couple free dollars, please do that. Eric Maruschek, we're so sorry that we
it
called you.
It was my fault. Completely
it was Sal's
my fault.
We called you Chris Maruschek about 8 times before we introed the interview from Wizard World. So Eric,
and then we called him Chris again after we played the interview with him, and that was not good.
Wow. So Eric Maruschek, amazing chalk artist and graphic designer. Check out his stuff at pepperinc.com, and thanks for listening, Eric. Steve Bryant, thanks for the shout-out for us in Athena Voltaire, the con exclusive number one. I think Word Balloon got a nice shout-out.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
Yes.
He's a good guy. It's Caesar a great book. Yeah, I love nice that book. Guy.
Yeah. Tony Fleece, I want to give a shout out to him. About it. He gave us a little nod in his book,
In My Lifetime.
Great book. Did you read that?
Absolutely,
this week?
I did. Yes, sir.
Really good.
He was
stuff.
A Word Balloon guest.
And as long as we're giving shout outs, I want to give my homies in 630 area code.
Big ups to Biggie. I miss you, dog.
One for my homies. And another quick little announcement. Our shadow today, who begged to not be introduced, but will probably chime in, Dave Wachter from Scar Tissue and Peter's Fables, he's floating around the comic shop. And so
number four is
I'm not here.
Yes, number
Scar
four
Tissue
Scar Tissue.
Awesome. A beautiful Frazetta inspired cover. You can't miss it.
Oh, hey, I never thought about that. Yeah.
You didn't see the signature then.
It says it's on the cover.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know.
If you can tell.
Well, that's cool. He just gave me a badass shadow sketch, Wachter.
Pound for pound.
Cool.
The best
Thank
sketches.
You, Thank yep. you very much.
Dollar for dollar.
And Norton, by the way, for my nephews, an excellent Dr. Doom. I believe slightly inspired by his fine Marvel Adventures cover.
Yeah, well, I'd say ripped off, but
well, it's you, so you can rip yourself
it's
off.
It's an homage.
Yeah, it's all right, and a great Spider-Man as well.
Can you homage yourself?
Can you homage yourself?
It's an homage to myself.
It's like,
that's called recycling.
That's all right. Hey, man. The kids are going to love it. Thank you, Mike.
Cool. All right, guys. I think that does it for all of our front-end announcements. Let's get to this main topic. We're going to get serious now.
Oh, shit.
Can you feel it?
I doubt it. Right. I don't think it's happening.
Do you need another beer?
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
Point.
Beer break?
Anyone? Hey.
That's the wrong point.
Another Badger reference. There
you go. He's drink.
The wrong point.
Whenever I go to Wisconsin, I bring a bunch.
There you go. All right, guys, I think this can be an interesting, fun, or actually, this topic can be a lot of what
we make
it.
It's going to be really short because I already have answered it. It's done.
Okay. Do Marvel or DC, do they have a responsibility as the big two to expand the comics medium by stepping outside of the superhero genre?
No.
All right, that's the show. All right, wrap it.
That's it.
Short answer, I would agree. I'd say no. In fact, I think it's a little sort of, how do you want to put it? A little presumptuous for someone to
demand that?
To say that they have a responsibility to do anything other than.
They're a business.
Money. Right.
They're a business. They're not a charity organization. They don't have a responsibility to do it as much as. And that, you know, that's like comic fans get so caught up in everything about comics, whether it's the characters or the storylines or whatever. And yes, these characters have been with us for a very long time, so we're emotionally attached to them in some way. But at some point, you have to realize that these are not national monuments that are protected under some sort of constitutional amendment so that Captain America can't, you know, kill someone or Spider-Man can't be unmasked, or there's no responsibility that Marvel or DC has inherently just because they own the rights to these characters or created them.
Right. I mean, and sometimes the big two do take chances. I mean, it's not like all they ever put out is a Superman book or a Spider-Man book or anything like that. You got Vertigo putting out pretty much eyeball assortment of stuff. Marvel aborts everything that they try, but I mean,
at least they try it.
Yeah, I mean, they try to do things like a Max line. They try to do things like their Epic line, and some of the, like in the 80s, and that the Epic stuff was great. There was some great stuff.
Absolutely.
And now you have the Icon line, you know, and you're seeing.
And actually, there's
going to
be more Max product because Axel Alonso said, "I know the Zombie book is going to be a Max book, and obviously the Icon is going to get a little bigger now with Criminal." So I think, you know what I love is the fans that split hairs and say, well, that's not a DC book or a Marvel book, that's an Icon book or that's a Vertigo book. It all winds up in the same pants pocket, guys, at the end of the day.
Still one of the big two there.
Right, exactly. And that's what I think, too. And also, every innovation in comics has always started, I think, from smaller companies. And I'm even going back to the Golden Age because Simon and Kirby invented the romance comic, and they did it for it was either Crossfield or Chesterfield, I forget the name of the company, obviously a company that no longer exists. 3D comics started with St. John's, and then everybody jumped on the 3D comic bandwagon. So I think the smaller publishers are necessary to innovate because it's like demanding that you know, Coke and Pepsi brand everything, you know, as Coke, and that's all that they should do. Is, you know, I just don't buy that.
Well,
I think
Coke and Pepsi do water now.
That's true.
You know,
well,
they have,
but only because it's profitable.
Right.
They're not doing water to broaden the consciousness of Coke drinkers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Because it got popular and people.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's
people, they knew people.
The
money.
Smaller companies can afford to innovate because they have to.
Yes.
That's their edge over the big companies. They can turn on a dime. Financially, I mean, they don't have to worry about long lead times and stuff because they don't have the overhead and all that stuff. I know at Devils do. I mean, that was one of the things I loved about being there. At least, I mean, they're bigger now, and not we can't necessarily. Well, I keep saying we. Gotta get out of that frame of mind. I know they don't make the quick decisions like they used to, but still it's fairly fly by the seat of your pants sort of situation. Whereas, you know, Marvel does try stuff like, I mean, I worked on creator own book essentially. I mean, we don't own it anymore, but they tried it out. It's a superhero book, granted, but it's a new idea.
Sure.
All those next books were new ideas, and they didn't do that well, you know, and that's why they don't do it. It's dollars and cents thing. It's not like they're sitting there going, well, you know, romance comics suck. We're not going to do that. We're just going to stick with the tights. But it's because that's what sells. And, you know, they try it every once in a while, and people will say, well, they didn't promote it enough or stuff like that. And it's, well, you didn't buy it.
Here's a question. Are they good at it? You know, I'm not talking about Vertigo.
Sure.
I'm not talking about Icon. I'm talking about mainline Marvel, mainline DC. Are they good at doing non-superhero genre comics?
Well, to turn that, and this was something I was going to bring up, is to, like, kind of flip that around. I mean, assuming that they should just be doing all kinds of things and jumping around is kind of ignoring the fact that they're really good at doing superheroes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, whether or not they're good at doing anything else, they're really good at doing superheroes, so why shouldn't they concentrate?
Yeah, why beat yourself up to get to 20,000 on an army book when Civil War is, you know, moving 400,000 units?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like asking a baseball player to suddenly become very proficient in, you know, football or something. I mean, it's... You're good at doing something. There's
Bo Jackson could have done it. Marvel can.
Oh, snap.
I'm sure Aaron Gordon, too. But
Chris, yeah, I don't understand the distinction, again, that you keep making in terms of, I'm not talking about Vertigo. I'm talking about mainline DC. I don't think that that's fair, because I think specifically Time Warner, having DC and Vertigo relies on the trade sales to justify making the monthly choices that they do as far as the various titles. They're not going to make money on the monthlies. They do all their stuff on the back end. And it's funny, I look at an independent book like The Walking Dead that's doing so well for Image, but also, yeah, I'm blanking now. Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, Robert Kirkman.
You know, and that book keeps increasing its sales in trade, and as a reaction to that, Marvel is like, oh, you know, zombies are
hot. Let's do Marvel Zombies.
And
that's the perfect example of what I was thinking is that it's not up to the publishers to expand, you know, what's being published. It's up to the readers. If you buy something, they will jump on it. They will publish more, you know, cowboy books if that's what's hot.
That's what happened with Simon and Kirby in the 40s. They went to this independent company and were doing romance books, and all of a sudden DC and Marvel were doing romance books.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for everything. You know, I mean, even every genre. Okay, superheroes aren't popular anymore. Let's do funny animal books. Let's do war books.
War stories, yeah.
EC. Yeah. EC didn't
absolutely
jump in and come up with their version of Batman and Superman. They did different genres.
Right.
So I think it's good. I think it's good for competition. And I think ultimately, the suggestion that the big two aren't doing it enough says that the product isn't out there. And I think if you just look at this store, it's a perfect example of the product is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be harder for some stores and some buyers at certain stores to find that product. But if you've got access to a previews, there's a very diverse world of genres that you can choose from.
I think that John just hit the nail on the head. And the reason I excluded Vertigo from that conversation is because Vertigo does well, maybe in the trade market, you know, not as much in singles, but they do well. And I think that the knee-jerk reaction of a lot of comic book fans is to say that unless Marvel or DC produce a comic that is outside of the superhero genre, then I'm not going to buy it. So is the own and you
sure
know it's true, and you know it's
well,
true.
Yeah,
is
the,
it,
being a
but even when they
that,
do,
you know,
even
but,
when they do produce a book that's mm-hmm outside, people don't buy it.
Sure, but is the onus on the company to produce the book, or is the onus on the consumer to spread out and find what they think that they might like? Because there are a lot of really good comic companies out there making a lot of really good books that aren't necessarily spandex.
That's sort of a snake biting its tail, though, man. It's you know, it's, yeah, they, consumers should look more for what they want, but if they're not aware that it's there, you know, if they're not being made aware, or if it's not being offered to them from the sources that they're used to getting it from, then it's not completely up to them to say, well, you know, I'm going to go someplace else, I have no idea where it's at, you know.
Don't you think in the age of the internet, though, that people, there's access to awareness of product more now than ever?
There certainly is, but the blinders are on still. I mean, we were talking with Ed Brubaker earlier today, and he was saying he was amazed at people just don't know that he's done other stuff. He said, you know, Bendis had said before, you know, people come up to him in a convention and say, hey, I love your stuff, I'm a huge fan, but they've never read Powers. They didn't even know he still does it. Right. Or the, you know what I mean? And it's like...
Well, Powers, what's his
But how much of now? That, too, is generational in terms of what age group are you
well,
looking
like,
at?
Well, like, even on a lesser scale, last week on me and Mike's show, we had Tim Seeley on, and... You know, there were people coming up to him at this convention that said, where have you been the past 2 years? The dude's been working steady.
He's done 300 pages in the last 2 years.
He's done an amazing amount of work.
I mean, it's not just Devil's Due Work. He's got book out through Image. He's got, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But, you know, nobody knows.
Hi, my name is Tony Danza, and you're listening to Around Comics. Hi, my name is John Romita Jr., and you are listening to Around Comics.
Here was an interesting post that Sal was telling me about on the drive up here today. You were telling me about a post on the Warren Ellis board about for $10 what you could have gotten.
Oh, no, it wasn't a post. Warren had put in, he sends out his newsletter thing, and he had said something that kind of struck him as funny was that you could walk into a comic shop today, and for $10 you could get Casanova, Fell, Phonogram number one, and Wasteland number two. And
that was last week.
That was last week, and it's like, you know, and that was, those were four books that those guys were all talking about on the Warren Ellis Forum 10 years ago. WEF.
Oh, okay.
10 years ago, and it just kind of struck him as, you know, kind of cool that now, you know, those books are all here, but none of those books are really going to sell more than what? I mean, Fell's probably going to do the best.
Yeah, Fell will
do just because of Ellis's name.
Right.
But.
We were setting up for the show tonight, and there was a guy that came into the comic shop and said, is there anything in my pull box? And this comes down to personal taste, and I can't rail on that too much. But Mark's like, no, you couple books, but nothing big. And he's like, yeah, it was kind of a light week. And I was like, oh, my God, this last week was awesome. You had, you know, those books. And I'm just like, and this came out, and that came out. And he's like... Yeah, I'm just like...
No X-Men, though.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's just like,
well, but again, how old is this person? What are their reading tastes? I think you almost have to, like, get tired of the mainstream to want something different. And, I mean, when I was little, in the 70s, it was during that experimental time when Marvel had the black and white magazines, and you had a ton of horror stuff, and DC was just, man, all the DC stuff, the Shadow and all the war books and the fantasy and the sword and sandal stuff, the product was out there. It was a different time. And now, luckily, like I said, it seems like the small publishers have picked up that slack and are providing that kind of entertainment. But I think you have to reach a point of oversaturation of enough of the cape and tights. I want something different. I still like reading comics, but I just want something different.
Well, I mean, I think consumers have said over and over and over again that, you know, superheroes sell. They have, you know, for decades now.
Well, there's always another generation where it's new for them.
Is it, and Chris, you had talked about this before when we were kind of discussing what we were going to do this week, and you'd said, okay, maybe the publishers don't have a responsibility in any way for this, but is it a good idea for them to expand the market?
And we'll go to the other Chris.
The only compelling reason I could think of for them to do that is something that's commonly being known as the long tail, and that's, you don't sell as much of any individual item. You sell lots and lots of titles of small amounts each. And that's the only thing I could think of that would be worthwhile to them. I mean, if they don't have any books that are doing like 50,000, but they have like 10 books that are doing, you know, 10,000 each, then that could be worth it.
Yeah, but...
Run,
but
you know? And if they do that, which numbers seem to support it, if you look at the top 300 or whatever, books that Image putting out, books that, you know, Devil's Due puts out, things like that, a lot of those vary, but, you know, for them to... actually continue to go from month to month, they average between 6 and 20,000 probably.
Okay.
You know? So if Marvel was able to put out, you know...
8, 10, 15...
Right. If they were able to put out, like, 10 books that were all doing about 15,000 a piece, then that could work out for them to not be...
But that's in the short term. I mean, my thinking is, what about long term? I mean, you know, how many of us aging... fanboys,
long in the tooth, gray hair.
Well, I mean, at some point, are you not looking at it from a business model of who are we going to be selling superhero comics to 30 years from now, or 20 years from now, or 15 years from now?
Don't you think the product has already shifted to cater to that audience?
to us, but are you? You know, I don't know. Am I going to be reading comics 20 years from now?
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Do you think they follow the market early in as much as that they assume that the next age group's going to come up and it's going to be new to them, so they can continue to do what they want.
I call it the Eddie Bauer marketing syndrome. You look at Eddie Bauer as a company.
Everything's flat.
No.
When
Eddie Bauer started out, their entire product catalog was aimed towards late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
That is an example of a company that grew with its core customers.
Right.
And now Eddie Bauer
selling walkers.
No. They're private labeling SUVs.
Right. Okay.
And they're selling khaki pants and dress shirts. They grew with their customers.
I think Marvel and DC have done the same thing.
Yeah, and Marvel totally has done that.
And we've talked about this kind of, and everyone's talked about this. Like, is there going to be another generation of comic book readers that are going to buy superhero comics when they're 25 and 35? Or we've seen, you know, sort of the down, not the downfall, but we've seen a decline in sales because kids don't. I mean, how many kids read comics nowadays?
Not as many.
Not nearly. There's too many other distractions.
I mean,
totally.
This is a discussion that goes on a lot between, you see it on message boards, you see it, you know, you talk to
see it everywhere.
You talk about it to your friends. And
right.
Are there any hard numbers as to how many kids are actually reading comics?
No. I mean, there's no hard numbers to what anybody's buying comics.
You know, I'm just saying that, like, I keep hearing that, you know, kids aren't buying comics anymore, but, you know, a lot of their parents are, and a lot of their parents are trying to get their kids into them, mm-hmm. you know.
Just because you don't see the kid in
the store buying the comic doesn't mean that kid's not buying comics.
Well, Marvel Adventures, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Marvel Adventures is Marvel's number one subscription comic. I mean, so they sell Marvel Adventures.
There you go.
I don't know one of my friends that reads it, though. Obviously.
Mine 11-year-old nephew does.
Well, right, kids do. I mean, little kids that their parents have bought it.
Sure.
And, I mean, for lack of a better term, have made them read. You know, right. And that's who I think are subscribing and buying these comics. I mean, they're, you know, schools are buying them, stuff like that, because the kids aren't. It's not like when I was a kid and I went to the Q Mart and saw Secret Wars and said, that looks interesting. Yeah.
Hulk is holding up a mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
That is interesting.
I mean,
it was a quarter of 40 cents,
right.
So it was easier for you to buy.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not in the Q Marts anymore. They're not in the 7-Elevens.
They're not priced for kids.
Well, they are in 7-Elevens, but I haven't seen any in 7-Elevens, even though they said they were putting them back in.
Yeah. We had Hucks where I grew up.
Well,
how about the thing that they talked about, how they're going to put Spider-Man now in the Sunday?
Right. Yeah. I think stuff like that will help with that sort of thing. I do think there are kids that are buying them. They sure as hell don't make it easy for kids to read the comics mm-hmm. these days because they are catering to people our age. I mean, I'd hate to be... Like, when I was a kid and I got into the comics.
Bought them from Man.
Which I found...
Mainline comics was an interesting term.
I found it interesting when I didn't know who everybody was in this Spider-Man issue. And I would go back and I would find old issues. And I started learning.
You were trying to tie continuity together.
That when you're a kid, I mean...
No, I know what you mean. That
was a really bad
joke. You really get into it and... But today, I can't imagine a kid picking up Infinite Crisis or something like
and
that.
And having any clue. Hell, I don't understand.
Exactly is what I'm saying. And a kid, it's definitely not accessible. And not that I'm saying that we have to make everything accessible for kids. I think this is actually turning into an entirely different conversation. But if you're talking about new generations, I think they're there. They're just, it's not... as easy for the kids to get to, and I mean, they want to read them.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the Marvel and DC's market, not Marvel and DC, the comics market is not aimed at kids. And you know what? I'm 33 years old. I love comics. I spend a lot of fucking money on comics. I don't want to read comics aimed at 13-year-olds. I'm not going to spend my money on that. That's a whole other conversation.
Britney
Spears in there somewhere.
But to bring it around back to topic, I mean, kids aren't complaining that there aren't enough detective comics
exactly.
out there or there aren't enough skateboard comics out there.
Well,
and I'm sure that usually it's these, you know, people our age who want an alternative and are kind of complaining, why doesn't Marvel and DC do this and that? And you know what? It would be nice if they did. You know, yeah, Japan and Europe, they do have all these things. but the American market has proven that it doesn't support that. I mean, if you guys want all these, then go out and buy the ones that are there. I mean, you guys were talking to Brubaker about, you know, image books and stuff and how people will wait for the trade and then kill the series because they're waiting for the trade. I mean, go out and buy these comics, and then they'll make more. It's just like John was saying, you know, the Walking Dead got really popular, so now they make more of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. How many zombie comics are out this year?
Jeez, I don't even know. This is actually really
everywhere.
Cool. Came in tonight, talked to Mark. Marvel Zombies.
Hardcover?
Yeah, now... they oversized hardcover.
Wow.
$20. Now, Dark Tower is a moderately sized shop in Chicago. It has a lot of stock.
It's well lit.
Yeah, it has a pretty good customer base. So
doesn't
it's not too bad. It's not huge, but it's a nice sized comic shop in Chicago. Now their hardcover sales, say Winter Soldier hardcover or whatever Marvel oversized hardcover, he says if they sell two, that's good. Three, that's nice. Four, that's awesome.
Sure.
They sold 14 Marvel Zombies hardcovers this
well,
week.
Come on, man. It's like Spider-Man eating people's brains. That was awesome. And I'm not ashamed to say I love that series. It was great.
Yeah.
No, beautiful Sudan covers that are all inspired by classic Marvel covers and stuff. The interior art was excellent as well. Kirkman's having a great time, obviously, writing it.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think Chris is right, and Mike is right. It all starts with the fact that the indies kind of tapped into this. Marvel saw what was going on and said, yeah, we can do this as well. And also, I think that the good news is that the mainstream has the flexibility with Vertigo, with Icon, to go to the creators and say, what kind of book do you want to do, Brian Azzarello? You know, we're thrilled that you did the amount of superhero stuff you did, but what book would make you excited? Well, I want to do 100 Bullets. I want to do a cool Western.
Right.
Great. And obviously, Brubaker's getting that opportunity with Criminal. Powers is that way with Icon and stuff for Bendis and Oeming. And I think that's great. And I think also it might take a popular writer or artist to introduce the mainstream audience to these other genres.
You know,
as well.
Other thing, too, though, is thinking about it this way, is if The Walking Dead hadn't come out and Marvel just came out with Marvel Zombies, as cool as it is, I mean, I wouldn't want that in replace of The Walking Dead.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
I'm just saying, you know, it's like, we were talking about, you know, the independence and the innovation that always comes from independent comics, and then the mainstream jumps onto it. And it's like, I think that's a healthy system because of the flexibility. And, yeah, you're not going to get everything that's going to be gold, but when it works extremely well, and you're not going to see something like that from Marvel or DC,
I don't think,
ever.
That was, you know, we had a great talk up on the car. You know, it's a perfect reason why we should have a portable recorder with us for Easter eggs. But I love Oni Press. I think that Oni does amazing, amazing work.
Yep.
And if Marvel or DC expanded their publishing and tried to move into the niches that Oni kind of covers, that would squash Oni. It
depends, because I mean, look at Marvel. Yeah, Marvel did a zombie book, but what did they do? They made their superhero zombies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, they are going to come out with the old zombie, the black and white character is coming back, and it's going
to
be a max
book. But I'm talking about expanding beyond that. If they were doing...
doing a bunch of crime and a bunch of horror and a bunch of...
If they had,
these independent books would have even less chance of selling.
No, I don't know, because, I mean, they tried. Look, there's that book, Underworld, that Frank Thierry just did.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I know it didn't sell well, or Sable and Fortune sold so poorly that they had to go from fully painted to a crappy
issue. Yeah, but what's poorly for Marvel? 5,000?
Well, but
for Oni, that's
a beyond. Yeah, I mean, we're talking like 15, 14.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well,
5,000 is immediate.
But 14,000 is great for Oni. That's what I mean. If that book never came out, the 14,000 people that didn't buy that, would they go and pick up something that?
Here's your reference
that, you know,
here's your reference for the week. Queen and Country sells about 5,000 copies an issue.
Exactly.
Marvel will cut a title at 20. And that's
right.
I mean, it depends on what it is. They might give it a little wiggle room, but yeah.
Oni is also three guys in an office. And
yes. It's a vanity. It's kind of a vanity.
It's not like
damn fine comics for three guys.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't love Oni. I mean, I've done enough work there. But, I mean, they, like I was saying before, they can turn on a dime. And if you want to talk about, I mean, the independent market dictating the creative decisions at the big two go, I mean, it goes for the creators, too. Because Marvel and DC are snatching up all the Oni's people. They're snatching up all the Images people. Yep. And they're saying, hey, Brian Wood, write us a bunch of stuff. Who's exclusive at DC now?
Yeah, Brian Wood.
Exactly.
Yep.
Becky Cloonan doing American Virgin.
Mike Norton.
How much do you love when, like, you know, Marvel?
I'm not edgy enough for Vertigo.
These are our young guns. And it's like, yeah, that's a young gun that's been around for 15 years if you really, you know, read anything beyond Marvel and DC. And
now,
you know,
if we're going to start talking about marketing, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite stories is when Mike Lark got the Eisner for Best New Talent. And he'd been working in the industry for like 10 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh sure.
I think Wizard gave Devil's Due a best new publisher at like our third year in or something like that. You know, I mean,
nice.
Media stuff's like weird like that. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or even as Brubaker, I'm sure, told you because he said it to me in my interview with him and stuff. He's like, yeah, you know, it wasn't until writing X-Men that people became aware of what I've been doing.
Yeah.
And think of the years he had spent not only writing his sleeper stuff but Batman. I mean, this is one of the guys that
when did Low Life come out?
He was doing Batman and Detective and stuff.
Nobody knew it. Yeah,
and I don't think people were associating the name.
I swear to God, I went back and I like went through all my comics. I was pulling out a bunch of crap that I was going to get rid of. And also, I had this, you know, big run of Detective stuff, and I'm like, wow, that was Rucka and Brubaker on it, and I didn't even know it. You know,
I also think that like everyone is still getting over the hangover of the Image boom years and the speculation period as well.
If you're still having a hangover from that now, then you know.
Well, but it's only been 5 years.
Take some aspirin.
I'd say it really hasn't been since like 2000. Don't you think?
That tanked like 97, 98.
Well, I understand. Well, yeah, but that's when the industry, when nobody was reading, and that's what I'm saying. People just started coming back around 2000 and stuff. So I think too. I don't think the verdict has been decided yet in terms of how much room there is in the two companies, DC and Marvel, to continue to do experimentation. I still see them trying things and looking for things that are slightly different than superhero books.
Well, I think they will, too, because, I mean, it's like, because you never know what they're going to be able to make a franchise out of that will sell into other media. Kind of things like
exactly.
that. So, yes, they are
going
to try to experiment with other things, but they're going to make sure. And this is the difference between the independents and Marvel, is that Marvel's going to make pretty darn sure, like I censor myself there.
You don't have to do that.
No, but they're going to make sure that whatever that they're doing is locked up with them getting a good percentage of what's coming out of it. Whereas an independent studio will be a little more lenient on that. They'll try to get whatever they can out of it, but you know they're not going to demand that to do it that they have to get, you know, whatever, you know, producers' rights.
They're looking
for
exposure and as much exposure as they can get.
Right, because they need more properties to, you know, further themselves. So I think that's where the independents come in, is that they're going to be, like, play it a lot looser and allow a lot more, like, leniency into what the creator's willing to, like, give up kind of thing. You know?
DC comes out with Paradox Press 10 years ago, and it's all these crime stories, and they're kind of lax in terms of tying up the other media,
Dreams and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. But even better ones than that. You know, they didn't think of beyond the comics what kind of properties they had, and so movie deals were never a consideration. Well, that's where Road to Perdition came from, and it wasn't a Warner Brothers movie. That's where History of Violence came from, not a Warner Brothers movie. Oops. Mm-hmm. So I think they're seeing the success of these films now and starting to realize, and I think that's one of the reasons why Axel Alonso was hired from Vertigo to come to Marvel and say, I know for a fact, I've heard Joe Quesada say, man, if there's one company that I'm jealous of, it's Vertigo.
Yeah.
And I want more Vertigo books, and I like what
Icon.
Vertigo does.
Here it
comes. And exactly, and that's the thing, and I think that's why you see the hires that Marvel is doing and the experimentation that they're doing. So yeah, like I said, I don't think the verdict is out yet, man. I think there's still other non-superhero books to come from the big two.
To kind of roll it back into the initial question, though, is that, you know, no, I don't really think that they have any kind of responsibilities. Responsibilities like some sort of moral quandary.
Where is their responsibility?
Their responsibility is
making money.
Their responsibility is to keep doing what they're doing so that, you know,
keep
there are companies
comics.
Like Marvel.
Their responsibility is to their shareholders.
Yeah, well, they have,
well,
ultimately,
yes. Yeah, making money.
But,
yeah.
I mean, that just comes down to the bottom dollar.
So.
You know?
Hi, I'm Simon Oliver, the writer of The Exterminators, and you're listening to Around Comics.
I tell you what, too, to keep it on topic and keep it rolling.
Too late.
let's go to some forum posts, because the forum, this started as a forum post, and people got
forum.
Very heated
the evil
about
monkey
this.
Crew.
I tell you, we're going to start off with a creator that you guys better keep your eyes on, because This guy is working on a hell of a book called The Damned.
Oh.
No.
Oh, Cullen.
Yes, Cullen. Cullen Bunn from St. Louis. He's working on a book called The Damned. Keep your eyes on this guy. He says, I love superheroes. Always have, probably always will. The majority of comics I buy each month are superhero books, but I definitely believe that Marvel and DC should do non-superhero books. Not only are a lot of the books in other genres very cool, it's the other genres that will pull readers into the medium.
Is that true, though? I mean, are you going, if Marvel all of a sudden puts out a bunch of, I don't know, teen, you know...
Where are they getting the books?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big question.
But where are they getting the readers? I mean, well, are readers all of a sudden going to flock to comic book stores?
I don't know if it's a significant enough amount of readers for Marvel or DC to care.
Right.
Yeah, to justify, like, you know, the creative costs even.
I mean, I don't think anybody argues that Marvel and DC should try and do...
That we'd all like to see it.
Who wouldn't? I mean, yeah, I think Marvel and DC should do other than superheroes.
Damn it!
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah. Do they have to? No.
I
go on
what is
the
it?
I go on the quality over, you know,
and
quantity.
By the damned.
I would rather see Marvel and DC, in my opinion, continue to do good work and at the quantity that they're doing than do a lot of mediocre work.
Well, yeah. Hey, how about this for another point of what I was talking about? Cullen's co-creator there, Brian Hurt, was working on a fabulous non-superhero book at DC. Got to get canceled because of low sales.
Hard Time great series.
And where? But again, where are the non-comic readers going to know that Hard Time?
Well, that's
exists
that was my point. Was like
in.
All of a sudden, if Marvel and DC start publishing a bunch of books that have nothing to do with superheroes, is it going to all of a sudden draw in all these non-comic book readers? Because it's different genres?
No,
it's not going to happen.
How are the non-readers being exposed to this stuff? I mean, that's, you know, it comes down to it's still a small business where promotion is kind of on a shoestring, and I don't think you really can. I mean, again, you've got good creators that do try to do non-superhero stuff like Brubaker, like Bendis and stuff that still have to kind of beg people to try their non-superhero stuff.
Although, like you were saying earlier, though, you had read Greg Rucka's novels before he did comics, and
Fistful of Rants, great.
Well,
book.
Yeah, I mean,
so I
could
see
too.
from that
yeah,
perspective.
But I didn't know he was doing comics until I saw the novelization of No Man's Land, and that was while I was still not reading comics. And I'm like, Greg Rucka is writing Batman? I'm like, when the hell did that happen? Or Andrew Vax. Andrew Vax did that excellent Batman novel. And also it was done as a graphic novel as well. And, you know, Andrew Vax is one of those Oprah Winfrey recommended reading list kind of authors and stuff, and he has dabbled in comics. I know that some of his readers have followed him. I know some of Rucka's novel readers have followed him, but...
Right, and I don't think that Marvel and DC are totally ignoring the fact that they need to bring in new blood, because they're hiring authors to do that.
Right, there's Brad
Meltzer.
They're
hiring book authors.
Oh, the Stephen King deal that they got? I mean, will that bring Stephen King readers, or is that already crossed?
As an aside,
depends on how they put it. I mean, talked about it, like, if the book is put out in a trade form and it's sitting in an airport and it's got Stephen King's name on it, hell yeah, it's going to bring
new
people.
Yeah.
And same thing with anybody, like, you know...
Charlie Houston?
I don't know.
Sure.
I'll tell you, I think what has...
Don't start with Crank and Charlie.
I think what has...
He's out of the house, Crank. He's out of the house.
I think what has more potential than anything, though, is the films. I have a friend who never read a comic in his life, never had any interest in comics, considered comics for dorks, wouldn't even consider buying a comic. But he loved the Sin City movie. He bought the special edition DVD, and he got the trade with it, read it, and then called me up and said, hey, where can I find more of these Sin City trades? Nope. Had never read a comic in his life, and now he's looking for more of them. So I think that has huge potential. But you see so rarely do they do any sort of cross-marketing.
I love that they're putting them in the movie, in the DVDs.
Box.
Yes.
You know,
starting to.
Yeah, well,
that was great.
The Sin City one.
Yes.
And actually, I bought the extended special super, going to charge you $5 more, V for Vendetta, and it had half of V for Vendetta.
Oh, no kidding.
And was it
a literal half, or was it they just sort of took chapters out and tried to piece it together or something?
No, it was like half of it, and it was undersized, and it said continued in the V for Vendetta graphic novel available from...
Which is interesting, considering the whole thing between Alan Moore and the Wachowski brothers in that movie anyway, that they would do that.
Well, they still, I mean, Warner still owns the book. So
Yeah, so it just helps.
Alan, you can do
anyway.
What you want with your check. Meanwhile, we're still going to make the majority of that money. Did you want me to read this?
Yeah, we've got another post from Dan, Papercut in Minnesota.
Yes, both publishers have creators under exclusive contracts. Many have options to do creator-owned books outside the big two if they want, some of which may be non-superhero topics and themes. So why not give them a vehicle within DC or Marvel to do stories involving people not wearing spandex and capes? I think that exists.
Both. Icon and Vertigo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
when you see a creator that gets carte blanche to do their own, they usually do something that's not superhero.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll do something a little strange, a little weird, a little risky.
I mean, Brian K. Vaughan. Runaways is the closest thing to superheroes that he does.
Yes.
I mean, that's. I mean, he doesn't.
Is
I mean,
it?
Yeah,
after his X-Men.
All creator owned.
Well, that's true.
Except for Runaways, I mean, Marvel owns that. But I mean, Doctor Strange is like the only superhero thing in the last.
Right. Yeah. That he's tough.
The escapist.
And also, I think I think it's important as people say, where's your responsibility to do non-superhero stuff? I think you have to acknowledge that guys like Paul Levitz and Quesada are greenlighting books that are non-superhero books for these creators. I mean, Azzarello has told me that the reason why 100 Bullets continued to exist in its early stages was because it was Paul Levitz's favorite book. And I've heard Paul Levitz just rave and say, it is my favorite book. I love this book. That's why DC is proud to have it as part of the Vertigo family. And I think that's cool. And the same goes for Quesada, too. It's like, that's why they created Icon. We love you. We want you making Marvel books. What can we do for you to make you happy and give you
I think it may have been. I'll use Ed Brubaker as an example.
I think Bendis might be a better example.
We don't want you writing for DC. We want you writing for Marvel.
Fine.
So I tell you what, we're going to we have this other imprint over there, and we'll let you do your creator-owned stuff, and it'll be in Marvel previews, and it'll be in the Marvel section.
That's a way to keep them busy while they figure something else out for them.
So come write Daredevil and Captain America and Uncanny X-Men. Oh, and by the way, for your creator-owned stuff, we have that for you too. So I think the Icon is probably as much of a draw for signing exclusive deals as it is for selling comic books.
I think it has very little to do with selling comic books. I mean,
if for anyone
that's
except
probably,
for
they would
creators.
Consider it like a loss leader or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Actually,
that's why Vertigo was when it started. I mean,
but hopefully, Icon can grow into something like what Vertigo has become.
And I mean, look at the Book of Lost Souls should be right there with any Vertigo book, the Straczynski and Colleen Doran book and everything. And it's, I mean, I think it gives you the same kind of buzz that you'd want from a Vertigo book. I don't know how well it's doing and stuff, but again, it's there to make Straczynski and Doran happy. So why not? Let them do it.
Yeah. It needs a certain amount of buzz.
All right. Our next one, Mike Oliveri from Illinois. Mike is the writer for Call of the Wild.
The Fine World book from Moonstone, absolutely.
On the subject of company-owned imprints, imprints are marketing. Reading this post alone, how often did someone say Vertigo books rather than a list of titles? It's quick, easy branding and serves two different markets. Yes, there's crossover, but there are a lot of people who read DCU and not Vertigo and vice versa. The same goes for Icon. It also separates continuity. Sure, John Constantine is essentially a member of the DCU, but you're not going to see characters from Bite Club or Fables appear in the pages of Batman.
Do they need to?
Nope.
Is anyone really begging to see Bike Club or American Century like show up in the DCU?
Well, I think it would be a fun crossover.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing John Constantine.
You actually never know if they will or not, though. I mean,
could.
They will. Like Superman Red Sun, I mean.
Right.
Yeah, I think that kind of did make lines, Chris. I thought they did kind of. Like, for instance, Constantine, it's like, I guess technically he is still part of the DCU, but I don't think they encourage it. And in fact, it's a bird was like a real, a heavy decision for DC to make it a Vertigo story. And, I mean, it really isn't. I mean, it's a book about Superman, I guess, but it really isn't a Superman Vertigo story.
Oh, well. Okay.
Or, people have been begging for a Batman, a harder-edge Batman Vertigo story. And there are certain toys that will not cross into Vertigo. And that's where Paul Levitz is kind of a hardline guy to balance out the nice things that he does for Azzarello on 100 Bullets. But he says, no, I'm sorry. Batman is an all-ages character. It will not be.
Yeah, just read Dark Knight Returns.
I guess it's sort of like the Berlin Wall. If you can bribe a guard to get through, then you'll see something happen.
Right? Pretty much.
That's how old I am. I remember the Berlin Wall.
Gotcha. Another fine age.
I still have a hunk of it sitting on a bookshelf of mine. We have another post. Chris?
You do?
I do. I've got a big hunk.
I got a I got a box of bricks from the old Chicago Stadium.
Hey, that's nice. No, no, seriously, on my bookshelf at home, I got this hunk of concrete.
I have a tile from Elvis's suite at the Baptist Memorial Hospital.
Dude, I would so trade you my hunk of the Berlin Wall for that.
No way.
Screw you, man.
That's Elvis. If you did, not to go way off topic, but... Rich Kozlowski's The King, if you're an Elvis fan. Did you read that?
Oh, I haven't read it, but I mean,
yeah,
I know.
If you're an Elvis fan, you'll like it.
Okay. All right. Chris, we got another forum post.
Paul M. writes, there really is no reason for Marvel DC to publish non-superhero books. Marvel DC are not publishing companies. They are media companies who make considerably more money off licensing than they could ever hope to make just selling comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That is their business, and they should use the lion's share of the resources to protect their interests. We pretty much covered the same sentiment there.
I think that's what saved Marvel from being chopped up into receivership when it was going bankrupt and stuff. And it was like, no, you're not a publishing company. You're Disney. We have intellectual property. And in fact, I know Paul Levitz made the same argument about DC back in the late 70s, early 80s when they were going to try and think about folding up DC. And it's like, don't you want a laboratory to experiment and develop properties to eventually maybe exploit, like that Superman movie that made you all this money? And it's like, oh, good idea.
Did a whole episode dedicated to this. Actually, Mike sat in it with Scott Johnson on licensing and comics. And Marvel makes like 5 times as much in licensing as they do comic book sales.
I mean, comics really, especially now, comics are becoming a
side gig.
Proof of concept for what's going on.
For the lunchboxes and the pajamas.
Speaking of which, I've seen like Scott's stuff about a million times lately because the back to school crap's out.
Oh, shit.
I'm seeing his Spider-Man stuff on everything.
The press release for the Spider-Man comic going out in the newspapers.
The Sun Times,
which
the New York Times.
We actually have the news story that's going to run in this episode. Scott posts on our forum. He's like, dude, that's my art on that press release.
Well, think of, you know, what's funny. I remember when I interviewed Neil Adams, not to name drop, but I just did. The whole, you know, I was speaking with Neil Adams the other day, and
I called John earlier this week, and I go, John, are you going to be able to be there on Friday? And he goes, no, I'm talking to Brad Meltzer. What time do you need me to be there?
I was, man. It's true. But anyway,
you
like
superstar.
No, like he was almost
podcasting superstar.
It was funny because I said, you know, when you were doing Batman, and I almost kind of like pigeonholed it as just the 70s. And he's like, what are you talking about when I was just doing Batman? He's like, he reminded me that, yeah, between calendars and lunchboxes and T-shirts, like, yeah, you know, Neil Adams, like, art for the magazines ended, you know, sometime in the mid-70s or late-70s, but his Batman, his Superman, as a licensing thing, just like Romita's Spider-Man, how many decades was that the standard for lunchboxes
and now
Bagley's. Exactly. So yeah, and now it's Jim Lee's Batman,
right.
You know, that's doing it, and I'm imagining Jim Lee's Superman.
Probably.
You know, although I don't know if they've tried to make an amalgam with the movie. And movie, isn't it kind of funny though? There's an example of licensing where Superman Returns. It's like, I don't know.
We're not
going
to latch onto that one
no,
yet.
Brandon, I don't know. Hang on to those stills from the movies because that might be the only licensing property that survives.
My favorite post, actually, Mike, why don't you read this? This is from Dustin or D. Drace, who's one of our buddies here from Dark Tower.
Anybody, I can read. Mike's an artist, so good luck to you.
If anybody listens to Cranecast, they know I can't read. I actually wish they'd just stop publishing comic books altogether, because that way I won't end up penniless and in some roach-infested nursing home when I get old and my family throws away my comics because they're taking up too much space.
Yeah, that's me. That's mean about
you just described my future. Please give to actor.
We have the banner on the site. It's there.
So. Yeah, maybe in 20 or 30 years, actor will turn into just a big retirement home.
Wow.
We all walk
Bendis,
around.
Give me my tea.
It'll be like San Diego.
It'll charge people
the never-ending San Diego Comic-Con. Except everybody will be like
grumpy and right.
They'll charge admission. They'll just walk by a bunch of old artists.
I'm still waiting in line, but now it's for custard. Can I get a sketch with my oatmeal this morning?
All right. John Sokol wrote, DC and Marvel have only one responsibility to their stockholders.
Ding, ding, ding.
If it's going to put dollars in the stockholders' pockets, then yeah, they do. Otherwise, not really. Yeah, we pretty much
make money.
Yeah. All right, next one, Scott Sutherland from Chicago.
Actually, he does a podcast.
He does?
Yes. He did.
No, he does a pop syndicate.
Yeah, pop syndicate.
He does an articles on pop syndicate.
And he did a Wednesday's
Everybody
Hall.
On our forum and everyone that listens to us is somehow connected to writing a comic, drawing a comic, doing a podcast.
Scott's a Chicagoland guy.
Maybe we need to branch out and try things about getting new listeners. We're all just listening to each other.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we have a responsibility of podcasting.
Yeah, we take our downloads each episode and subtract 94.
Hey,
and
now I don't feel so bad because we kind of are the indie comics podcast. Since we don't really talk about comics.
That's true. Man.
We're being
edgy. The Vertigo of comics podcast.
There's no question. Absolutely.
I'm with those who believe that DC and Marvel have no responsibility to do anything other than publish the books that make them money. Unfortunately, that's The Infinite Crisis and Civil War, not Exterminators or The Thing.
Well, Exterminators is a good book.
Not really
Exterminators
independent,
awesome.
Though, is
awesome. I don't think awesome. That the average DC or Marvel buyer wants any diversification in their books. If they did, I think we'd see some stuff selling better. Heck, the average DC or Marvel buyer doesn't seem interested in most of what Marvel or DC
that's
are
because
doing.
They're
unless
stupid.
It's a big name, or unless it's involved in a huge crossover, which I think is it.
He brings up a good point because I was just saying while that's you were stupid. Talking.
Said, well, I was trying to read the poor man's post.
Well, no, the thing wasn't an independent book, but it didn't get readers.
Nope.
So how the hell are they supposed to support the books that aren't about the thing? You know?
Right.
They
didn't have a major summer release last year of a film. You know, you would think that
this
is
exactly.
the time.
I'm sure the Fantastic Four movie didn't help that book either.
Every Marvel superhero walked through that book.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
And it only went up to issue 7 or something like that.
8,
But there's a million characters in it, and it can't go. And it was written by Dan Slott, who's like one of my favorite writers.
Damn funny guy. And a good serious
writer.
He's
a good writer.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Dan'll be fine. They got some big project.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm not saying he's on the outs.
I mean, what I don't get is, that book was sort of in the vein of the new She-Hulk, right? And She-Hulk still manages to keep
going. Yeah, exactly. There's no reason why this shouldn't have.
Because the thing doesn't look like She-Hulk, maybe?
My point.
I mean, seriously.
I don't know. Is that really what, I mean, seriously, people buy She-Hulk because.
I think a certain degree. I think a certain degree.
I think that's a certain market.
It's the Captain Kirk fantasy come to life, man. Hot green chick.
I really
likes
worry
it,
about
know?
The people that are buying comics.
Yeah.
Are they even,
I agree with
they
you,
are they even reading
girls,
the book, then?
Well,
I'm sorry. This might alienate me from people that might buy my comics.
Even more.
Where's Greg Horn doing the cool, you know, sexy covers, you know, for...
Yeah, I mean,
I
you know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
It's out there. We don't want to admit it, but they're...
I guess.
So Mike needs to draw more butts.
Yeah, I guess so.
More cleavage, Norton.
Okay. And not that dinosaur.
Well,
you
know,
can draw the dinosaur's butt.
Yeah, we'll see. That,
dinosaur
that,
cleavage.
That shows you right there how out of touch I am when I think Gert's the most attractive member of the dinosaur. He's like, what? Maybe I should be drawing.
And then you didn't even get a drawer.
2-3 pages.
Postmortem.
I think we kind of touched on. I mean, this is one that we could talk and debate and bullshit over.
I mean, there really is no debate. There's just
Basically, and we'll go through our final thoughts real quick. But you know, I guess I'll start off. Final thoughts. Marvel and DC have their hands full trying to push the properties that they have already. Yes, they are the big two, but are they responsible for expanding the medium? I guess to a certain extent, and I think that they do a good job of that. They're doing Icon. They're doing Wildstorm. They're doing, you know, Vertigo, all of that stuff. Is it their responsibility? In the broader sense, yeah, I'd like to see them expand the consciousness of the medium. But what
stinking
it comes down
hippie.
To... what it comes down to is that they need to sell comic books. Is it their responsibility? No. Whose responsibility is it? Us. As consumers...
All right, are you gonna move on?
Yeah, I'm totally
we
on
don't
the
need
system.
A rant.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
holy cow!
I just thought we were starting over again.
Jerry Springer.
You didn't like the first
final word.
No, the responsibility lies on the reader to not rely on just Marvel or DC. So there you go. All right, Sal, your turn.
I got nothing. You said everything I needed.
Yeah, really.
You're right. It's on the consumers. Quit buying like 5 variant covers and. You know, whatever the hell else crap you're out there, you know, buying and go out and buy books that aren't superheroes if that's what you want to see Marvel or DC expand.
Don't be afraid.
If you want to
see
more Marvel and DC horror books, go buy other horror books, and Marvel and DC will end up making horror books for you. If you know, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Chris?
I don't think it's anybody's responsibility. Buy what you want. I mean, you know, if the companies offer it, buy it. If they don't offer it, go find it someplace. You know, I mean, it's like, it's not up to the companies to make it. It's not up to you to buy it, to support it even. It's like, you know, just do what you want, because somebody is always going to do it, whether it's an independent comic or whatever. There's going to be something out there that's going to be strange and odd, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's anybody's responsibility. The market will handle it. You know?
Just let the market decide?
Yeah, the market will do what it's going to do, and you know, we can just look for what we want.
Norton is nodding, but of course he forgets that it's audio, so we can't acknowledge the nod. So,
yeah. And he gave us the devil sign at some point, so that was cool.
I know what that is, all right. I'm not hip on the kids' lingo.
Responsibility, no. Should they? Sure, why not? But you know what? If they did, let's say Marvel and DC went out. Yes, I mean, they are the ones that are the innovators. They're the ones that are putting out this stuff for everybody else. There wouldn't be Robert Kirkman's, and there wouldn't be that awesome story of how he's making more money off of his Image books than he ever would at Marvel. You know, it's just like, there wouldn't be that story. There wouldn't be any way to rally behind guys like that if they weren't bucking the trend like that. So, I mean, I kind of like it the way it is.
How can you rebel?
I think more people should try to do that kind of stuff. There should be more good independent stuff, you know, just doing their thing, and people should support it. That's the way it should work. I mean, don't look to Marvel and DC if you want that sort of thing. Buy your stuff from them. Buy your good old-fashioned superheroes, and I'll hopefully keep drawing them.
And the only thing I would add to what everyone else said is, as opposed to continuing to buy books because you've, you know, been buying them since issue one and you want to continue your run, even though you don't like the book, rethink that kind of thought.
You can always go
process.
Back on eBay and get them cheaper anyway.
If you want, but yeah.
I stopped buying Witchblade at 100, I swear to God.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's, and I agree with what Crank said. I don't think there's a genre that...
Spawn through 65.
See? Well, no, and that's the thing. And I think everyone does kind of wake up and say, you know, I really haven't read the last six issues of what, you know, Book X, and I don't know why. Well, realize that and stop buying Book X. And I don't mean any X-Men book when I say Book X. But again, I agree with what Crank said. I don't think there's a genre that you can think of that isn't being covered by some publisher, and especially if you include, you know, international comics, whether they are from Japan or anywhere from Europe and stuff. Every kind of story is out there. The onus is on the reader to really kind of pick up and look around beyond DC and Marvel.
Hell, pick up a pencil, make your own.
There's that too.
Hells yeah.
I think that secretly Marvel and DC, like, they do, you know, 12 issues that are good of something, and then they do like six that are really sucky, and then they'll come back and do like 12, you know, it's like Batman. You know?
I think it's so that
you're afraid to stop getting it every month. You know?
I
it's
think
like,
that kind of thinking has gone away.
Kick ass, yeah. I know it.
But I think that school of thought has gone away from both of the companies, because I think they're more interested in, let's just get 6 or 12 good issues from a creative team that we know people are going to respond to, and then let's move on to a different creative team. I think the Bendis on Ultimate Spider-Man and Bagley for 100 issues, obviously that era is going to end, as we found out this week. And I don't think that's going to happen as much. And I think instead it's all going to be boutique. You know, the event is going to be the new creative team with each successive
arc. Which isn't a bad idea.
That's like the OGNs and art form
or something.
Sure.
Bagley and Bendis were kind of an anomaly anyway.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's making such a big deal. I mean,
sure.
Really,
who was the last team to do it?
15 years ago, this wouldn't even be news that they. That
right.
Oh, guys did a long run on a book.
You're right.
Well,
whoopee.
Get in line.
Yeah. I mean,
but now it's just like, that's amazing.
They're
going
to go to 110. I mean, it's still a year away.
Larry Hama was writing G.I. Joe for 152.
You know,
or like 154.
I thought there were a couple of different artists because I thought that was the same writer for Jack. No, you're right, or Peter David on the Hulk.
I mean,
not to take away any kind of achievement from him.
Burn and Claremont.
No, as you say, it is an anomaly now.
Forever,
Claremont.
Yeah, but yeah, the 6, 8, 10 year runs aren't there anymore. It's the 2 year runs that are
right. Funny because I mean. We're talking about the,
We keep getting off into other subjects.
We were supposed to wrap up, but that's okay.
This will be the last thing. But I think it's funny that we were talking about how the audience for comics is our age. I keep hearing and hearing from people our age that what they want on a book is a stable creative team to stay on for a long time. They don't want the
say they want. But if you look at it, and I don't know what sales on Ultimate Spider-Man are, but sales on a creative team will progressively decline.
They do monthly.
Yeah,
I mean, you can look at almost any figure and see that.
The only way to spike sales is to get a new creative.
Or an event or something. I mean, there are events. That's
kill someone.
You're committing to a six-issue story. And if I'm not interested in that story by issue two, sorry, I'm walking away. And you're not going to get my money for 4 months.
Now,
you know, I mean, until that story wraps up and I see something else that's interesting.
Sorry, I wish we wouldn't have got into this at the end.
Go ahead. Go. Okay. Yeah. Chris, you're the last. Go.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, you know, because sales, like, when you look at the way sales work with the 2 months ahead of time and things like that, you know, you'll see a drop initially in, like, the second issue of something.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's based solely on the proprietor's, you know, ordering habits.
Mm-hmm. Pre-orders.
You know, and then after that, that's when you start seeing, I guess, proof of whether or not it's being sold, because that's when the retailer can make accurate decisions of things, right? But, you know, I don't know. How much is that? Do we have any, like, is there any way of telling, like, how much stuff is sitting in comic boxes other than you see sales numbers go down?
No, the problem is the direct market. There's no way to judge how much is sold and, you know, how many books are ending up in someone's hands.
Direct market's a whole nother episode.
Around Comics. All right, guys, I think, we need to stop this.
No, I'm not leaving until I've said my say.
Somebody stop me.
No.
8 hours from now, Kirby was awesome. That's like, no,
we got to stay until the Jim Beam bottle is out.
Yeah. All right.
Go.
We're gonna revisit this, I'm sure, years from now.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Years from now, I'm not doing this fucking podcast. Years from now, I'm sorry to tell you.
Thus starts the countdown to the end of Around Comics.
Wow,
we got a new creative. We're gonna have a new creative team on Around Comics. I think,
then you'll get your spike in or listenership.
And then I'll make them my triumphant return. To the podcast.
We're gonna do a 100 episode run, and then we're gonna hand it off.
Yeah.
All right. okay, guys, that was great.
But we appreciate it.
Thanks for all the forum posts, and we'll revisit this at some point. But right now, it's time to move over to the news desk. It is time for Wire to Wire Comic News. These are your top stories for the week of August 14th, 2006. Marvel Entertainment is talking feature films. The company reiterated that the sequel to The Hulk is likely to be the second feature film to be released as part of Marvel's self-financed film slate following 2008's Iron Man. Again, David Self was named as the writer of the upcoming Captain America film, with Andrew Marlowe listed as the writer of Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Mark Prestovich writing Thor, and as a new addition, Zach Penn was named as the writer of The Avengers. The last announcement goes back to the Marvel Films presentation at the recent San Diego Comic-Con, where it was noted that it was no coincidence that Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor were leading the Marvel self-financed slate. ICV2.com reported the Hellboy animated feature Sword of Storms will debut on the Cartoon Network on October 28th, months before it becomes available on DVD on February 6th. Sword of Storms finds the BPRD enforcer immersed in Japanese folklore, and it should fit perfectly in with both the Cartoon Network's panache for all things Japanese and the Toon Net's traditional pre-Halloween horror and supernatural-based programming. The second Hellboy animated feature from IDT, Hellboy Blood and Iron, appears to be even better suited for the Halloween activities. It involves vampires and haunted houses, but there is no definitive word yet on when it will be released, though it is expected to be out on DVD sometime in 2007. Marvel Comics told comic retailers Tuesday afternoon that their highly successful Civil War series will see some significant delays.
Issue number 4, originally scheduled to ship August 16th, has been moved back to September 20th, with issue 5 moving from an October release date to November 15th. Over the next few weeks, the Civil War proper title and a few of the tie-in books that are closely related to the story in the main book will be shipping later than originally planned. 5 classic Vertigo debut issues are available for free at the graphic novels section of VertigoBooks.com. Just go to VertigoBooks.com and you can download the debut of The Sandman, 100 Bullets, Creature, Fables, and Why the Last Man. It is a great way to get a sample of a series at no cost to you. Be sure to check back regularly for more free downloads of Vertigo debut issues. A number one next to any graphic novel indicates that the first issue of the series is available to download. News America Marketing and Marvel Entertainment are offering Amazing Spider-Man comic book reprints as inserts in newspapers. The first insert, which reprints 1962's inaugural Spider-Man comic book, appeared this past Sunday in newspapers around the nation. Other installments of the Webslinger's adventures will be available weekly through December. Clients for the free insert include the New York Post and the Chicago Sun-Times. The Sun-Times reported that 122 newspapers participated. Stan Lee's Spider-Man creation already appears in newspapers via a 1977 launched comic strip distribution by King Features Syndicate. Hitting stores this week is the Grounded trade paperback, collecting the sold-out miniseries by Mark Sable and Paul Azaceta. Writer Mark Sable enthuses, "I'm absolutely thrilled with how the trade paperback came out. Because almost all of our issues went over 22 pages, there's close to 7 issues worth of material for only $14.99. Aside from selling out multiple issues and even going to a second printing on its first issue, Grounded has also been gathering up accolades since its introduction, including a must-have rating from IGN and 5 out of 5 from Silver Bullet Comics. Recently, even comics legend Mike Mignola, creator of Hellboy, sang the praises of Grounded, saying it was the best book I've read all year. Grounded is a 160-page, full-color trade paperback retailing for $14.99 and is available now. These have been your top headlines. For the full version of these and other stories, go to www.aroundcomics.com, your source for the best in comics news, reviews, and opinions. All right, those are your top headlines for the week. Kind of a short list this week, but some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Clipped in at 5 minutes and 31 seconds on the news. The Avengers movie.
I haven't seen it yet. Anybody?
No, this is the real movie. It looks like...
Live action.
Have they mentioned a roster?
Well, the roster at this point will be Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor. That had always been the big holdup on doing the big team movies is that the
it's going to be a bunch of unknowns.
Those properties are owned by
different companies.
Yeah,
sure.
Different companies. But Marvel now has Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, so they're definitely alluding to the fact that an Avengers movie may be in
cool.
the works.
Is it going
to
be Weird Thor, like from the Avengers cartoon? Weird Thor?
Or is it going to be like The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah, I was gonna say that's exactly what I was gonna say, Mark. The creepy Bill Bixby movie Thor, that was
oh,
really
yeah.
bad.
Oh
yeah,
or are we talking about Thor from?
Totally Thor.
He's in the American Wedding movie. He's like the gay guy that.
Yeah,
does
he was the gay guy, and he was also on that. Was it like a? The Martin Lawrence sitcom that he was in? He was in one of those stupid ABC sitcoms.
Martin Lawrence sitcom. I don't know.
he was in one of those dumb sitcoms.
I think he's right.
He's a character. Is it Thor from Adventures in Babysitting?
Nice.
No, that was
nice
Vincent
reference.
D'Onofrio.
Nice.
Or
the
no,
or
that
or
the wasn't Vincent D'Onofrio, was it?
Yes, it was.
Really?
Isn't that funny? All the things that, yeah.
go back and check out his IMDb.
No way! Yeah, is that Vincent?
It'll blow your mind.
Which apparently they're remaking Adventures in Babysitting too. I just
heard. Oh my god! They're doing a remake
with what's
of that
her
movie?
Name?
Remake, yeah.
Jesus Christ!
God, I'm old.
I just heard about it
with Ultimate Thor.
Enough. Miller had it on his message board. Enough with the fucking remakes of like movies that aren't you know more than
not
10
that
or 20
good.
Years old. No, just like.
Oh, come on. Adventures in Babysitting is great, man.
I think...
Nobody leaves here without singing the blues.
Frank had that taped to his front door.
No one leaves here without singing the blues.
John Hughes movie?
I don't think that's a Hughes movie.
Okay.
Hughes asked.
But then again,
how
I don't think
Hughes
that's asked? Vincent
how many
D'Onofrio.
Good movies
so.
With what's her face from the Karate Kid and Cocktail? What's her name?
Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Yes.
With
Shoe. I always get them wrong. Yeah, Leaving Las Vegas. Schwing.
Hey.
Swing. Hot head hooker.
I can't help it. Wingsworth. That's my
all right. What's my next?
All right. Hellboy animated feature.
Yeah.
It's going to come out on Cartoon Network in October and then the DVD in February. So
haven't they been showing preview of that or like animation
they
clips
did it
from
in San Diego?
Yeah,
I think I saw it on YouTube or something.
Did you guys
probably.
See Amazing
yeah, sure.
Screw-on-Head?
Screw-on-Head. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm
they had that on
Sci-Fi.
That
was excellent.
But Screw-on-Head was amazing.
But you watch it and you're like, yeah, there's no way they'd make a series out of it. It's just way too smart and
yeah,
cool.
It's too
you know, they it just was, never would do... You know,
David Hyde Pierce point. Doing Emperor Zombie. I mean, come on.
Give Sci-Fi Channel, though, credit for at least testing it online
yeah,
and seeing what
yeah.
kind of response.
Well, I watched it like 8 times.
They've done that for years, though. I mean, they did the whole Voltaire comic, the Chi-Chi-Chan, I think it was called.
They did that on Sci-Fi yeah. Network? Did
yeah,
they
started that.
They
started
out
as an animated.
Yeah, they used
well, started out as their
promos.
Yeah, their
that's
bumper
cool.
spots, and then went into an online flash thing, and then they made the comic book later.
I think,
well,
and,
it, but,
and look how iTunes just released the Aquaman pilot that wasn't good enough for network television, but certainly was good enough to get a bunch of buys on iTunes. I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, I have my
really
suspicions
really
that those are all plants.
We talked about this before. I think that's how they're. Well, I don't know if we talked about it on the air.
They're fake viral marketing.
I think, yeah, they're going to. That's how they're going to do their testing marketing.
Yeah,
for,
why not? Why not?
Yeah. So they'll put an
episode silly.
Out.
We're,
I mean, if you spend the money to make a pilot, you might as well show it. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
get it out there.
The
hey,
and speaking of David Hyde Pierce.
Uh-huh.
I read an interesting article about the
Hello Left Field.
The guy, you know, he did the voice of Abe Sapien in
yes.
the Hellboy movie, but he wasn't actually the actor in the costume.
No.
Right. Wasn't it the...
I can't think of the guy. I can't think of the guy's name. But he's
well.
Done other stuff,
yeah.
And he was kind of upset that he didn't get to do the actual voice for Abe Sapien. Mm-hmm. But now they're doing the Hellboy animated, and he's doing the voice of Abe Sapien.
I was going to say, let him and David Prowse like sit in a room together and console each other for not being able to do the voices. I was the real Vader. And it's like, nobody knows, man. Unless you went to a con, we don't know. I like David Prowse.
I just thought that was, you know, interesting segue. Or not a segue, tangent,
This is... I don't know if we want to open up this can of worms or not. But
sure.
Yeah.
Is it a small can of worms?
No.
Huh?
It's
is it like a sardine can of worms?
It is a huge can of worms that I think we have some pretty strong feelings on.
Nobody
and it may
here
surprise
reads
some people.
These books.
Civil War has been pushed back by a month, by a whole 4 deadly,
actually, that's not
horrible,
true.
Apocalyptic weeks.
No, no, wait. That's just one issue, and then, right, it's September and then November. So it isn't. I mean, I understand.
Well, they pushed everything back 4 weeks. So push 4 weeks, and then everything starts picking up after that. Am I misquoting?
I could be wrong, but I thought it was that the next issue is coming out in September, and then 5 is coming out in November, not October.
Oh, so it's going to be 8 weeks in between.
Well, yeah, or at least 8 weeks between the two books.
I am buying 55-gallon drums of water. I'm buying provisions lots of canned goods. I've got guns,
really care.
And ammunition.
No, the only reason why I'm just like clarifying in terms of what the real time is. I don't give a shit.
They're going. I guess.
Yeah, but there are people that are like insanely pissed off.
I'm never
about
going to buy Marvel comics ever again.
Well, the only thing I find really strange about this is that it's them making this announcement and not DC. I mean. if anything was going to be like late, I would figure it'd be 52. You know?
Yeah.
Thank God. And you know, well, and we saw what happened with Infinite Crisis when it was, you know, rushed because of the pending deadlines of 52. 52 was written to be in real time, not just 52 weeks, but the specific 52 weeks.
On Thanksgiving, yeah, 52 Thanksgiving.
Right. There were fireworks on the 4th of July. I mean, Giffen and Grucka and those guys that I've had on Word Balloon have said, it's like, shit, if we, you know, it's not going to be us. If there's a blizzard in Canada, that's what's going to make 52 late. But they had months of issues in the can, so this wouldn't happen.
Right.
So, but with all that said, I understand the people that are upset. It's their first, it may be their first, in some cases, event where they really feel like they're being fucked. We're older. We're jaded. We've been through this a million times.
Don't all events fuck you sooner or later?
Yeah, sooner or later.
But I think we reach that level of saturation where we're like, yeah, all right. You know, whatever.
Wait,
I mean,
I'll buy
okay.
it. It's always easier after the first
well,
time.
Well, I did think, know? I thought the most interesting post that I had seen about this whole fiasco was somebody had come on and said that they found it interesting that, you know, Marvel makes sort of excuses for this for Mark Millar and Steve McNiven, yet when Dan Slott was late on She-Hulk and The Thing, an editor for Marvel came, I think it was Tom Brevoort, and just like completely...
He's Dutch, isn't he?
Oh, was mad at
Slott. Oh, and it just like, yeah, like threw him under the bus. Threw him under the bus completely and said, you know, well, you know, I love Dan, but... You know, he's never on time, and
wow.
You know, and I know this is kind of embarrassing, but if this will get him to get his books on time. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, in
wow.
one case with a book like The Thing or She-Hulk.
Well, I guess you can afford to be a little more callous towards books that aren't of the same
magnitude.
Yeah, I mean.
Jinx! Jinx!
With something like this giant event
no,
being late, you've got to try to play it down because you don't
yeah.
want anybody panicking.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, actually, I'd be curious to hear what Mark from Dark Tower thinks, because I think if anyone truly, honestly, man, because no, because I think if anyone really does have
oh,
a legitimate
good
beef,
God, no, it's over.
It is comic store owners.
Now,
and that's they're the only group of people that are complaining that I can sympathize with. So, I mean, were you getting a lot of unique customers because of the event of Civil War?
We were to a degree. We were getting a lot of people coming in just for
first
Civil
time?
War. Yeah.
First time
or people
stuff?
That came but haven't bought in a long time. That heard about it from their buddies who still collect and
okay.
and stuff, and this is going to hurt it because it's already getting annoying to the point where I have to tell, I mean, a dozen people a day that no, the book's not coming in until September.
Sure.
No, the next issue won't be until November. I mean, this should have been wrapped up by Christmas. Now we're looking at Easter.
Right, right.
And the domino effect of all the other titles that are getting pushed back too.
Sure.
It affects our business because we're not going to make as much money in those weeks. Now it's being
Absolutely.
Spread out all the way to April when they could have had some other books in those times. So
right.
It's a pain in the ass.
And it is not just Civil
so
God War.
Goddamn,
you
get your
said.
Shit on time.
Well, yeah. No, I understand that. Well, has Marvel, like, do you have Marvel contacts that you talk to that they,
oh,
like...
Oh, all the time.
Well, I'm asking.
Comic store. They
no.
give a shit about
well, but
me.
No, I know that some stores do have kind of an in terms of
yeah,
Marvel
guys
reps
like
that are...
Lone Star and Mile High and right. stuff that have been around for 25 or 30 years.
Maybe
no,
well,
they give a shit about it, the little guys.
Maybe if all you right. had a better attitude, mister.
No. No, but I mean, no, that's you know, in this era of Bitch. Corporations taking over and stuff, like local comic stores are like the last bastions of mom-and-pop stores. And that's why I do think, and I can appreciate the legitimate gripe from them saying, you know, you're kind of fucking us for a few months here after making
yeah, but
a
I
big
mean,
deal. Nobody
if Civil War never existed, I mean, they're, you're
certainly
you're
Marvel doesn't want this
money
to happen either, and everyone understands that. You know, but it's
well,
but it's money you lay out for a product that now
well,
is
they haven't
gonna
paid
be
for it.
Correct
yet.
Me if I'm wrong, but
because of one book, it's causing across the board delays.
Yeah, it isn't just one book, man.
But it's not one
book.
Book. It's
supposed to be out every 2 weeks is now going to be out 6 weeks late.
Yeah, but it's not cancellations; it's delays. You're going to get your money eventually.
Well, correct
those. It's the point of we're losing. It's the point of they could have filled up that time here.
quit stroking your Hawkeye and then you. Talk to us there, Chief.
Touching my sentinel right now.
Oh, it's a sentinel. Sorry,
it's a sentinel. That's a sentinel.
I don't have my glasses
on. No, it's the point that they've spread it out so far now that in the months that Civil War wouldn't be around, they would, of course, filled that with something else. So theoretically, I'm losing money.
Right.
I mean, at this point, though, because
I mean, I am losing money. People see it as like, well, you're just getting the money later. I am getting the money later, but. Hopefully, they would have had something else going on at that time period also, because they just have a big event.
I mean,
everybody's got their big events.
You're given the option at this point, though, since it's a comic that's been pushed back or delayed, it's not meeting its deadline, that you could, theoretically, if you think it's not going to bring you any money, you could just cancel the orders, couldn't you?
Nope.
You can't?
No. They give you a cancellation date, like issues you can cancel.
I thought that if
due to orders being delayed, blah blah blah, these titles can be reduced and or canceled. It doesn't mean across the board.
There you go.
Now we do buy enough that I'm sure if I yelled at our rep, I'm sure we probably get something. But
so you're stuck buying them whether they come out in 3 months or 6 months.
Secret war.
And how many of those new, unique, people are going to be patient? Again, we're jaded. We're used to it. It's not a big deal. We waited for Kingdom Come.
We waited for Ultimate.
We've been waiting for Ultimates. Like I said to Bendis, I waited years for Dave Stevens to finish The Rocketeer.
I wait for Planetary whenever it comes
out. There you go. But again, we're in the habit. You've got all these new readers coming in for this event. I can appreciate where the local stores are coming from. And again, they're the only ones that I think have a legitimate gripe. Readers, get used to it. It's fucking comics. I mean, seriously, it happens.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding.
So, as we know it.
I'll just wait for the trade.
And all right. I feel fine.
Crank's waiting for the trade. Five classic Vertigo debut issues are now available online. I downloaded the 100 Bullets debut issue. I've got this in trade. Cool. I've got it as a single issue. And
now you have it digital.
And now I have it as a PDF.
Yeah, they're offering it as PDF format, right?
Yeah.
Smart move.
What's really cool, and for me anyway, is that I got the single issue, but the PDF of 100 Bullets number one, it's like this kind of in-progress PDF. Some of it's colored.
Oh, really?
Some of it's not, and some of it's partially colored. So if you want to see some really kick-ass Eduardo Rizzo art, and white.
That's cool.
Huh. It's really freaking awesome.
I thought that they would do that.
You
figure it'd be simple for them to take just their print files and just generate digital files from
them. Well, that makes it unique, though, another incarnation of something that's been traded and collected a million times.
And they are offering just this as a preview. It's not like you're trying to sell it. Like,
no.
The digital download.
Well, and they had that famous first collection of Vertigo stuff, so I think they are at the point now where it's like, all right, what else can we do with this?
Yeah. Huh.
I think it's this first step in towards the eventual digital comic world when we go to the paperless society.
And, it's like a totally smart move. They're not taking that Marvel approach of let's shove it into a flash file and force people to read it at a certain pace and add in goofy sound effects and vocals and
Somehow it's
a cartoon now and not a comic book. No.
Great Jack Kirby impersonation.
Thank you. Ouch, babe.
All right, for the 100th time, my iTunes idea. Create a Marvel or a DC store at the iTunes Music Store. You go there. There is a catalog of certain titles that you can go to. Amazing Spider-Man. You click on that and you have however many
99 cent
Amazing Spider-Man issues, download it for $1. You get the full print PDF version that Marvel had sent to the printer. On the last page of that comic, you have a coupon that says, for 99 cents off the current version of Amazing Spider-Man, take this coupon into your local comic shop.
Coupon.
Make these things available for $1, download through iTunes, and make a dollar coupon that you can take in. No skin in the game, and you're opening up comics to every iTunes
subscriber. Just saved the industry.
Excellent idea, but at the current time, there's a hitch.
Okay.
iTunes, and I get this from their iTunes department, sales department or whatever. iTunes right now is not currently supporting selling any kind of ebook format like PDF. They'll include PDFs with albums as part of album sales. Mm-hmm. So like maybe if they wrapped it into some sort of like audio media sale.
That's right, true believer.
Faked it or something, a loophole kind of
thing. The Around Comics podcast?
Yeah, but what does it take for a company like Time Warner who has some music interest to say,
they can do it themselves.
Right, yeah. Chris, yeah, everyone is waiting for the right interface
they need
to facilitate a PDF that is as warm and friendly as a book.
It's coming.
They're
going to screw it up. They're going to screw it up with DRM. They're going
to
screw it up with
they're better
a whole
to wait.
Bunch of things.
They did try digital comics
it's
online.
It's about distribution, though. And iTunes is the only distribution model out there
that's currently
that
working.
People are familiar with.
Yep.
And it handles PDFs.
Bullshit. Wait a minute.
Amazon.
Hold on.
Actually,
hold on a minute. There's plenty of other places where people download e-books.
By far the most popular.
It is the most popular, but
Amazon is about to get into the music and movie download business. Google is already in that business as well. All these companies are
actually
the sharks are circling the circling the blood trail. Believe me. They just want to wait and feed when the temperature is right.
If they worked out some sort of weird thing with like some place like YouTube that's got national recognizability, is that the word?
Recognition.
Yes. I'm not too bright. No. If they work out something with YouTube or something like that, even where they could distribute their products, and. Anyway, iTunes is a great idea, but like I said, iTunes themselves are not wanting to get into that right now.
Yeah.
So,
And YouTube is still an outlaw website right now.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think they're being welcomed with open arms by all the...
Well, no, I mean, they're getting slapped with a lot of things of like cease and desist
exactly.
and stuff. But
yeah, they don't play our pilot.
People like it, but it's like, it is the Napster
of flash that's knee-jerk. That's knee-jerk, and that's going to settle down.
Well,
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, kudos to Vertigo for...
Go to VertigoBooks.com.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
VertigoBooks.com. 100 Bullets, Preacher, Fables, Why the Last Man, and Sandman, #1 issues are available. I think the PDFs are like 9 meg... So if you have broadband,
between 9 and 20.
So real high quality, beautiful. Cool. And if you want to look at some 100 Bullet stuff in black and white, it's freaking gorgeous.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, next story. Spider-Man comic books in
newspapers.
Yeah.
So, if you are listening to this on Monday, you live in the Chicago area, look through your... Sunday sometimes from yesterday.
Dig through the garbage.
Dig through the garbage and pull out that Amazing Fantasy 15.
Are they actually print, like, including a... What's the format?
I have no... I'll find out on Sunday.
I think it is an actual comic.
Yeah.
They're not just printing the thing down on, like, newsprint or whatever?
No, it's inserted. It's a throwback to the Will Eisner spirit.
Yeah.
Or
they're inserting an actual book into the newspaper.
Yeah, it's like Parade or whatever passes for Parade these days. I'm not up on my Sunday supplements. I actually read the newspaper. Yeah, there you go. So I think it's great.
Awesome idea.
The only thing that kind of worries me is I think they're outside of Amazing Fantasy 15, then they're going to go to like the 70s run. And that's where they're going to start, like, the other books?
Ultimate Spider-Man #1.
Well, that's kind of what I think, although maybe that's still enough of a property that they don't want to give that away.
Yeah, you got all the trades, the hard pack.
If you're going to do it all the way.
And lose money?
Yes.
Doing it for what? Just so you feel better about it?
I've seen about a million of those Ultimate Spider-Man trade paperbacks, first ones. In 50-cent kind of things everywhere, mm-hmm. You might as well give it away at this point.
I don't know, man. I think the trade still sells.
Well, the first issue.
The hardcover's still out there.
Exactly. You're talking to a guy that just bought all the hardcovers.
There you go.
I understand that, yeah.
But the first issue.
But the hardcover's a different
animal.
It is.
But seriously, that is the thing I see most.
I think go to the eras where there were like one and done books, but I'm worried about it being the 70s. What were you going to say, Michael?
It is honestly the thing I see the most in those trade bins.
Bins and stuff.
Yeah, I see Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1, the trade paperback, and.
In the 70s, that was when the strip was syndicated anyway. That was like 77 or something like that.
Yep.
The comic strip.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was syndicated, so I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Right here in Chicago.
Kind of makes sense to go ahead and put the 70 stuff in there again, I guess.
Some of that stuff's going to be kind of dated, right?
That's my point. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. Especially
I love that
like
first panel, though, where he's holding up the bus and the people. I remember.
You know, and actually the newspaper strip is still running.
Yeah.
And because I know Alex Savick does the Sunday version of the strip. And I guess I want to say Larry Lieber, Stan's brother, is still involved with the strip as well. I mean, technically it says Stan, but it's kind of like Stanley Presents, and the reality is I think it's Larry Lieber, and I know for Sundays it's Larry
Stan's
Lieber.
Stan's moved on to television.
That's
He's
right,
got, who wants to be a superhero?
Have you watched that crap yet?
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
I'm sorry. I, you know,
that's a different show.
I haven't watched it.
Not too much on a tangent, but I was watching it last night where he was chewing out this guy for being a stripper, while in the background is a picture of Stripperella. Like, Stan!
Brilliant. Well, you know, the thing that I it tainted it for me was the fact that like all those people on there are all like they're all like
I'm
actors.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah,
none of it. They're not actors.
Well, this guy was an actor, and he was. I mean, he used to be a male stripper. And it's like strippers aren't heroes, and in the back there's Pam Anderson.
Yeah, that is
good,
Stan.
It's all fake. It's all totally.
Yeah, it's silly, and unfortunately, it perpetuates the myth that we are all, you know, snot-nosed people in our basement that don't get a lot of
sleep. We are all people that would sit in a comic shop on a Friday evening talking about
5 hours.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Next story.
Next.
Yeah, move on. Move it on.
Last story. Hitting stores last week was the truly fantastic Grounded trade paperback. I wanted to get this in the news. I don't think that...
Free.
You got yours for free?
What?
Ivan gave me one.
Suck it!
Who gave you one? Oh, Mr. Big Comic Book Artist.
Wait, who gave you one?
Ivan.
Well, actually,
speaking of the microphone.
No, I'm sorry. I keep saying Ivan gave me one, but he didn't. He gave me another one. Mark gave me one.
Ivan gave you a 24/7.
All right, bring everyone up to date. What book?
This is Grounded by Mark Sable and Paul Azaceta, who he corrected me on the pronunciation of his name like 8 times at the convention.
Because you're kind of an idiot.
Azteca or something?
Azaceta.
Azaceta?
Yeah. Azaceta.
It's Joe. Azaceta Minifin?
Make it simple. Where's the Ellis Island guys when you need them? Fine, Sam Smith, move along. Next.
Hey,
who the hell are you?
Hey, Mark. Do you have a Grounded trade paperback?
I picked one
here?
Up at the show last week. The
There's
Grounded.
There's one on the rack out
it's a nice. The art's great. As here, a Paul's stuff is really nice. Okay.
Paul,
it's about
and this is something that he was kind of downplaying this, but I guess at San Diego, Mike Mignola came up and said that.
Is that how you say his name?
Mignola.
Yeah. Yeah, the G is silent.
No, I don't know. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I said Mignola forever, but Mignola said that Azaceta was his favorite artist.
He's really good.
And it's completely different. If you're not reading Talent by Boom Studios, please check out.
Just wait
Talent.
For the movie.
It's been optioned.
Or the next sci-fi TV show.
Grounded is a story. It's roundabout. Check it out. It's a kid that ends up going to a superhero school, even though he doesn't have superpowers.
Yeah, it's Sky High.
You know, you could
have
done it for your
high,
top
but
of the stack.
It's a less Disney-fied Sky High, is what it looks
If you wanted to, you
well,
know,
that,
push it.
Joe Casey was doing something like that like a year ago, wasn't
yeah, but
two?
The
Intimates? Yeah, the Intimates?
Yes.
Sort of like that,
yes.
Too?
All right, and that's the news.
You're on to Ultimate Spider-Man. That's not part of your newscast. What the hell?
Bagley's leaving Ultimate Spider-Man at
right,
110.
Right,
what more do you need to know?
Yes, longest run ever. All
right, okay. We'll miss you, Bagley, on Ultimate Spider-Man.
All right, those are your top stories for the week. It means it's time to move over to top of the stack.
Top
of the stack.
Of the stack.
That's right, top of the stack. It's our chance to let you, the listener, know what the panel has been reading for the last week. Who would like to go first with their top of the stack? Oh, Sal. Oh, gosh. I'm so excited about this one.
You know, Sal, new company was coming. Look what he's got in his top of the
stack.
No, I'm not actually going to. I'm not going to embarrass
Sal, Mike. Sal was waving around
Runaways
19.
Yeah, but I'm
featuring art by a certain
it is,
Mr. Mike Norton.
Suck up.
Well, I'm not going to do it as my top of the stack, but if you haven't read Runaways before, pick it up. Cause
isn't that Julie?
Shut up.
Mike did an awesome job on this issue, and it's
congratulations,
gorgeous.
Wonderful debut. How did the signing go downtown this week?
Pretty good.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won.
Yeah.
I had a contest with Sean McKeever.
Yeah, McKeever was out in L.A. or
what
something.
Store?
He was in Las Vegas.
It was what? How many strippers could sign your book and you won?
What store were you at downtown?
Yeah. And all the strippers hang out down at the Loop at Graham Crackers.
Oh, you know. Yeah.
No, not Chicago. It was Graham Crackers.
Crackers.
Sorry.
Right next to that awesome diner that's like right in Mabel's.
I've never been there.
Sorry.
I love that. Graham Crackers is cool, too. Don't get me wrong.
You forgot Windy City.
Windy City.
We got the owner of Dark Tower here who's just like, you know,
pumping all the other stores.
The vein in his head is pulsing.
All right.
You're top of the stack, so.
My top of the stack is Dead Man, number one from Vertigo.
Was that any good? All I saw
was
a preview at the end of the
Yeah, I really liked it. It was, the art was really good. It reminded me, I don't know if it's the same guy, John Watkiss.
I know that name. Yeah.
I think
what
he did
he
Trigger Effect.
Trigger. Yes.
Yeah,
Trigger,
which was phenomenal. Yeah,
love
Trigger. That's what. Yeah, great. Fantastic art.
Fantastic.
This is sort of a retelling of the Dead Man
It's a different
mythos, but it's not the same Dead Man. It's a different Dead Man.
Another reboot, right?
It's basically another reboot, and it's a little more grounded in...
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it that necessarily. Yeah, I think Frost and Brand is still going to exist. I think this is just a Vertigo story that happens to be called Dead Man.
And it's about a guy who comes back from the dead.
Right, which is...
The beginning of the story was really interesting. It was sort of all told in flashbacks and flash forwards and flash sideways.
Dreamy sequence stuff.
Yeah, but it's basically a dead man in limbo trying to figure out where he's at and what happened to him, and he doesn't realize that he's dead. And his dead brother, is also trying to help him through that and trying to help him cross over.
Okay.
But as we find out in the story, he ends up in a plane crash. Him and his brother are both pilots, and they end up crashing the 747, fully loaded passenger 747. And sort of, you have to figure out why they crashed. And at the end of it, you find out that his brother had something to do with it. And that's what sets him off from not crossing over and becoming Dead Man, coming back. And now he wants to find out why his brother crashed this plane.
Does he get the right costume?
No. No costume. Sorry. Yeah.
I can't believe I just let you say that whole thing. I bought that book. I haven't read it yet. You just completely ruined it for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
No, it's all right. It's my fault.
It's still good. I mean, it's still... yeah, I kind of gave it all away, but...
That's all right. I must still read it.
It's really good.
I'm glad it's good, though.
Bruce Jones is so much better, and this is not a backhanded compliment, but I love Bruce Jones's non-superhero stuff. So
I think he's more fit for it.
I loved his Hulk run.
I liked it too, but it almost would have been better if it wasn't the Hulk and just like...
What was it, Somerset Holmes back in the day?
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago, that was so
great.
Yeah,
real good stuff.
And Alien Worlds and all the cool Pacific comic book stuff that he used to do. I like Bruce Jones a lot, and I'm really happy he is in Vertigo because I think that's a great
thing. I think it's a great place for him. And this was, like I said, the beginning of it is really interesting, the way he puts it together and sort of retells this story. It felt a lot like what's that the film,
like Dead Man?
No, it's like a film about the Vietnam vet who's like losing
Jacob's
his mind.
Ladder.
Yes, Jacob's Ladder. That's kind of what it felt like. But it was really
That's horror, and that's Bruce Jones. Yeah. That's one of his strengths. I mean, he's a great horror writer. No, I think he's great fit for Vertigo. Very cool.
Dead Man number one. That's my top of the stack.
Crank, you got anything for us this week?
I got nothing. No, not this week. I read Rip Fables last week, I think. Was that when that came out?
Yeah, Fables. Actually, I think you're thinking... Well, yeah, actually, both did come out last week. Fables and Jack of Fables, did they not?
Jack Fables, like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
Was it a couple weeks ago? All
right. I'm still hung up from Wizard World.
Fables, I love Fables, but Fables has, like, slow periods for me, where, like, there are certain issues I'm just sort of, like... I have to... It takes me some effort to read through them.
Yeah, sometimes.
Especially when it goes off into the, like, there was...
No, you're wrong! I'm sorry.
Well, like, a couple of issues ago, there was a whole one about the wooden soldiers that was, like, all told as a fable, I guess. But, you know, I mean, like, but, you know, it's sometimes...
How fitting.
Did you like the Arabian story? I thought that was really...
I think they're cool, but like I like to see what's happening now.
Oh, the love story sort of like between the two...
Yeah, the two wooden
people.
Oh,
I like that. That was nice.
It just took me a while to read through it.
You're wrong!
Oh, you're wrong.
You are wrong.
You? No, but yeah, I read Fables this week.
Okay.
Last week, whatever it was.
It was this week.
I'm
the same
way.
Dude, my to-read pile after Wizard World is probably 4 feet tall.
That's how I am, too.
I had to buy the last 12 issues of Runaways to catch up.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
You should have done that anyway.
I keep hearing that, yeah.
It's a good book.
Mike, what you been reading?
I don't know if I have a recent top of the stack. I've been reading other stuff that I have. I've got a bunch of stuff. I read.
We heard on Crankcast how you treat your comics.
Yeah, well,
rolled up on the floor.
The way they're supposed to be.
I aspire to.
Some of them are cat scratched.
Oh, a lot of them are cat scratched. Actually, he used a whole. My cat used a whole long box as a scratching post.
Oh God!
Yeah, it's pretty rough. My Fantastic Fours are all shredded at the top. But I read 52 with a Booster in it, and
stop it! No spoilers.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Did he
no
die?
Booster.
No, I didn't read it.
Spoilers?
No spoilers. I'm not going to say any spoilers.
Spoiler for Sally.
Well, I'm just going to. I'm just going to say I don't feel so bad that Booster was left around after my favorite character Beetle died. I don't feel so bad anymore.
All right, cool.
Do you share that whole hatred of why are they killing all the characters that I love from the 80s? Dad?
Well,
all
maybe I had that for like a second, but not really.
I just didn't like the way Court was taken out like a
52, new She-Hulk with Rich Burchett coming back on. I mean, not coming back on, but replacing Paul Smith. That's pretty good. And that's about it that I'm reading right now. I'm in the middle of reading a bunch of different stuff. Though,
so what are you drawing these days?
I'm in the middle of Runaways 21 right now.
Okay.
So.
Good deal. Awesome. Mr. Sunters.
I'm still on both post-San Diego and Chicago like hangover. So, yeah, my stack is ridiculously large. So I did read 52 this week, and I enjoyed it. And it didn't upset me in the least that someone died. And but what I do want to point out that I guess is a couple weeks old that I was really excited about was Jack of Fables, and I guess I am a couple weeks late, but
I just picked it up.
It's an excellent.
Don't spoil that for me, please.
Yeah,
I just bought it.
It is, and I agree with you, Chris. I think there are times that Fables does kind of lag, and I wasn't sure if I was going to pick up Jack of Fables, and I'm glad I did because I thought it was really interesting. The art is different, and that's fine. The co-writer seems to be working well. It still sounds like Willingham's voice. And I'm happy that there's a companion book to Fables. I think it's a great thing. And I'm just thrilled that Willingham has been rediscovered because, shit, I was a fan, 25 years ago. And it's just cool that suddenly he's like the new toy, and everyone's like,
Read
oh,
Elementals.
So
he's going to win, like, best new artist.
He's a young gun. He's a new young gun.
Yeah.
And the book's also got Andrew.
It's a Chicago art team, so you should support it anyway.
Yeah, Andrew Pepoy's inking.
Yeah.
Tony Akins
is penciling.
That's exactly right.
Both of them are really swell guys.
They're great guys.
They're Chicago guys?
Yeah, I was talking to Andrew.
Tony Akins has been on the story. He's another very tall man.
It's Peep Boy, technically.
If we
struggle at proper pronunciation.
I'm sure he'll forgive me.
He's corrected me before. But no, I saw him at Wizard Chicago, and he said he and Akins used to be in college together, so it's funny that it took them 20 years before they finally started to get to work on a book together. So that's kind of
cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's get these
Andrew's,
people in the shop.
Shoot, Andrew's been inking for, God, ever.
And he is bringing back Katie Keene to the world of Archie, and he's very happy about that. Good for you, Andrew.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go next.
Chris, what's your top of the stack?
Top of the stack. This is going to be a big shocker.
Is it a Greg Rucka book?
I like this book, too.
Chuck. No. Yes.
I know Greg Rucka. I could have him call me or something.
Say hello.
Please don't do that to me, Greg Rucka. Please don't do that to me, Mike.
You worked on a Greg Rucka book, didn't you?
Yeah, I know him all right. I don't, call him on the weekends.
I do.
All right. I'm doing a Greg Rucka book this week. And
that book is just Queen and Country with superheroes, right?
It is Queen and Country with superheroes. That's right. It's so freaking good. I love it.
Have you guys read between the... Go ahead and tell me.
Checkmate. Everybody that listens to the show knows, number one, I'm mostly a Marvel guy. And number two, I love Queen and Country and pretty much anything Greg Rucka writes. I'm reading Checkmate, and I could give two rats' asses about most of these characters.
Who's in that?
Maybe even half a rat's
ass. That's always the hallmark of a
Mr. Terrific.
Comic.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Scott, Golden Age Green Lantern.
I don't care about Sasha Fire. Bordeaux or Mr. Terrific or Alan Scott and
Fire.
Whoever Fire? Yeah,
the
who
Brazilian.
The hell is Fire?
Fire's a jail of other 80s characters that didn't
neat,
get
though,
killed
right?
yet.
I mean, they're bringing up all these characters that nobody gives a crap about.
Waller, the White
the
Queen.
The Wall! We love Amanda Waller.
Amanda Waller, it's I don't know these characters. I've never...
Those really? All the people that are in that?
Yeah.
Book? I should go back.
Dr. Vertigo? Is that...
Count Vertigo.
He's actually my favorite character in that book.
Kid.
He looks like one, too. He dresses like one.
Our party people. It's Count Vertigo, ladies and gentlemen.
There are like 85 DC characters in here that I know little to nothing about, and Rucka has assembled them into like this organization. And every issue, it's laid out, it's like, this is the queen, the king, the knight, the bishop, and checkmate, I'm not gonna get into the minutiae of it.
It very much is like Prisoner. No, Checkmate is DC's shield, for a lack of a better comparison. Mm-hmm. But I think Rucka has kind of upped the game by giving it a very real world politic element to it, because Israel acts like Israel in Checkmate. Checkmate is a world organization. Countries are represented. China acts like China. Israel acts like Israel. There are
the Americans bickering. Act like Americans.
Absolutely. And it is a complicated structure, but if you know your DC history of Suicide Squad and Checkmate, it's fascinating.
You don't even have to.
And you're entertained, and you don't know this. That's cool, too.
I love Queen and Country. This is Queen and Country with superheroes. You have to sit down and read this book, and I mean, you don't have to study it, but it's fun. It's political. It's
good action.
Great action. You've got politics. You've got action and black ops and
politics
and politics.
Well, but Ex Machina, Ex Machina has local politics. Checkmate has world politics.
Yeah.
And I credit both of these writers for making politics work in a comic book, or at least work for me, and obviously for Chris. My theory, I think that the superheroes, the frontline superheroes that are in Checkmate now, you'll notice are JSA members, and I think John's even said that they're going to be JSA members when Justice Society comes out. I have a feeling those characters are going to pull away from Checkmate, and you'll be left with more of the espionage angle, and they're almost there to make Checkmate more palatable for the people that are jumping on now.
It's an entry.
And then they'll pull back, and I think, you know, the Sasha Bordeaux's, the Israeli representative of Checkmate, the Chinese representative, those guys are going to probably take more of a center stage.
Well, and here we are saying that they don't do anything weird, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got a book like Checkmate.
This issue actually started the pullback of Alan Scott in Checkmate. I don't know if that's going to continue. This is issue 5 that I'm talking about, by the way.
Will somebody tell me what happened to his eye?
That's coming in 52.
Oh, Christ. I don't have this time to wait.
No, I'm going to know until, you know.
Real quick, the crux of this issue, this one is called Selection. One of the knights was killed in an earlier issue, and a big part of this issue is about 4 recruits that are basically being winnowed down to become the next Black Knight in Checkmate. And it follows them, but then it also has a lot of the backstory in what they're doing and the other stuff with Alan Scott and Mr. Terrific. And Checkmate's great. Check it out. It's issue 5. Get them all. They're fantastic.
It walks a real fine line of what is acceptable in the real world that DC feels is safe enough to put in a book. But it doesn't get as 9/11-y or the war on terror.
Take out Al Qaeda and enter Cobra.
Exactly.
I got mixed feelings on books like that, because I never feel like I should be aware of politics going on in a book.
But that's what it is. It's a political book.
But it's interesting because Rucka has really invented this whole political structure and debates using real world themes. Like I said, China acts like China. Israel acts like Israel. And America does act like the current America, and that's interesting. But by the same token, it's not from snatched from today's headlines to the point where you are feeling
fine.
Like,
I mean,
you
that's basically the same kind of geek moment. That's basically the same kind of messages that Star Trek would make back in its day.
Exactly.
About politics that were current for the time.
Yeah.
Nerds.
Yes.
All right, we've got special guest appearance on Top of the Stack, Mr. Dave Wachter, and he's got. Wait, 2? Which one did you pick?
No, I picked 1.
Okay.
I picked it good.
He winnowed it down.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, he was debating the entire time.
I picked it up. The other one was, just so everybody knows, the other one was The Escapist, Brian K. Vaughan's new book, which is incredible.
Two?
Issue 2. But I'm not...
A great James Jean cover.
But I'm not doing that one.
but
go ahead and go
cover.
Out and buy that, because it's an incredible series.
No, it's a fun story.
I wanted to talk about something that nobody else has been talking about, and I haven't heard anybody talking about, which is a Wildstorm Signature Series book called Manifest Eternity. And any of you guys pick this up? This is why I want to talk about this. This is Scott Lobdell and Dustin Nguyen.
Nguyen, I think.
Nguyen? That was very Jerry Lewis.
Is he Jewish?
Ivan Hay with the Hay.
Is it Nguyen or Nguyen?
And
Chris, I'll defer to you. I have no idea.
I knew a kid when I was in grade school that his name was spelled the same, and he was Vietnamese, and his name was Nguyen, so I don't know.
I thought I've heard Doug.
Did he draw a comic?
Well, you know, it's that guy.
Yes,
anyway, letters, Jared, K. Fletcher.
Wait, Dustin Nguyen, he was on 21 Jump
Street. Exactly.
And Batman.
There was a Dustin Nguyen. And if I could talk about the book.
Sorry,
you like. Letterer Jerry K. Fletcher, assistant editor Kristen Quinn, and editor Ben Abernathy. That's easy. Abernathy.
That's good American.
Everybody got
good
that?
American.
I went to high school with a kid.
Ben
yeah,
Abernathy.
Did you go?
He's the hero of Terry Brooks' Magic Kingdom for Sale.
God, you are just a pop culture freak, aren't you?
So anyway, this book called Manifest Eternity, which is now just issue 3 came out, I think, a week ago. Maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. Basically, what it is, it's a sci-fi book about, Manifest Eternity comes from the idea of Manifest Destiny. So the human race has basically conquered every other race in its known universe. And it comes to a point where there's another universe that runs parallel to our universe. And inside that universe exists every kind of fable-like or fairy tale creature. So in that universe is trolls and dragons and fairies and things like that. And basically they've seen the humans take over their universe, and they've said to themselves, well, you know, we're next, so we better strike first. So they come to our universe
to kick some ass,
basically, yeah. And it's sort of a distant future kind of sci-fi.
Wow.
Cool thing. And
that's
then suddenly,
a cool concept.
And it's got a lot of cool flashbacks and everything about the old wars and when the humans were fighting against alien species. Then you see sort of current day when alien species are sort of integrated into society. There's still sort of this weird racism that's going on because we fought them once. And now suddenly, all of a sudden, there's dragons, trolls, and all that kind of stuff, which there's basically no defense for.
And they're pissed.
And it's basically, they say, your god science cannot stop our gods,
magic gods of
magic.
Okay.
And they come in and they just start kicking ass.
That's what that dragon movie from a couple of years ago should have been.
Oh, the one with Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I didn't see that. I guess I skipped that.
Never mind,
that
I'm
one.
Sorry. That's still.
With Age of.
I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
Fire.
Come on, Craig.
Rain of fire.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. Come on, pop culture
AC,
man.
You were just holding back, Norton.
But I remember it because it was the last time I ever saw Crank in a movie theater.
Oh,
do you blame
hey.
Me?
Wow. Hey, it's hard to get to those movies. I'm going to stand up for Crank on that one. The last movie I saw in the theaters, I think, was Spider-Man 2. All right,
well,
it's tough to get out there.
Spider-Man 2 came out a lot later than Reign of Fire.
Yeah, well, okay.
Got tired.
But as for Manifest
cool
Eternity,
dragons,
you know, if
one,
you, yeah,
cool
another
dragon.
Thing that it reminded me of, just it struck a chord for me, is that it. I haven't seen
cord.
It since I was a little
ten
kid.
God.
Ten
did I write
no,
the show?
No, Mike's crying.
The only thing, it's been years, you know, I was a little kid when I saw it, but it reminded me of Star Blazers, and then throw in the fairy tale aspect of, like, the fable-type creatures.
Sure.
Not even fairy tale. It's just that these things happen to exist in a different universe, and then suddenly they come in, and now you've got 1 year to save the Earth.
That's cool.
You know, kind of thing.
Ah,
and it's great. It's far future. It's, I don't know what to say on the cover there, Mike. It's probably.
It does not say limited series.
It doesn't say limited series, so I'm going to guess that it's an ongoing.
Buy it so it doesn't get canceled.
Yeah, no shit. Exactly.
Yeah, really, because it is. The art is just freaking beautiful.
Who's the art?
The art's really pretty. I do remember actually. I remember glancing through this now. The art is really pretty, but I found it kind of confusing in spots as far as. I don't know whether it's the layouts or.
Yeah.
At some spots, just looking at it, I was sort of like, well, it's not real clear to me what's going on.
Right.
But that's just glancing through it, so, you know.
Right, well, I don't know. I understood everything that was going on it when I
read
it.
Yeah, if I read it,
it's the kind
of
thing where
it
gets you into a mood, it gets you into a zone. It's got its own sort of feeling that it's bringing along with it.
And it's really good-looking stuff. I just, I was, you know, and again, this was just casual perusal.
Wildstorm, another example of the mainstream, you know, coming
doing
up with all these different
really
interesting.
Yeah, Wildstorm
does some
I
guess you call
stuff.
Them.
Yeah.
They've got Ways. They've got American Way, which is a great series.
Ex Machina. I keep forgetting that's a wild story.
Looking forward to Deathblow from Azzarello coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And Gail Simone's thing about the heroes in the retirement community. I'm looking forward to that. Seriously.
Did you read
cool.
Black Plague by Boom?
That's Casey. Casey's one-shot.
Yeah. Was that
no,
a one-shot?
Yeah, it is a one-shot.
No. It's a limited.
He's sitting here waiting for number
Black
two.
Black Plague's a limited.
Really? All right, because I thought Richie...
There's no way that's a one-shot, because it's...
It is.
Never mind. It's the worst one-shot I've ever seen.
I thought that's how Ross Richie described it.
Your storytelling sucks, friend.
All right. It's get this train back on the tracks.
Too late.
Hey, one note for Top of the Stack.
Definitely.
One of our favorite books that it seems like it's 8 months old to us, but it just came out last week. Phonogram, new on shelves. Please, please, please check out Phonogram.
I already bought it. Jeez.
That's the one that's aping the
buy another one.
Aping the album covers for the covers,
yes.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Kieran Gillen, McKelvey doing the
Jamie McKelvey
doing.
Yeah, I remember because I saw it. And I at first I thought it was.
Who swears he doesn't know, he's never heard of Photograph by Def Leppard, but I don't believe him.
Well, ask him.
How could you? How could you be older than older than like 20 and not know that album or that song?
It's Phonogram is absolutely fantastic. It should be on your. Hopefully, it's already sold out. If it is, reorder it, whatever. But please pick up Phonogram. Kieran and McKelvey have done an amazing job on this book. So
when I first saw this, I thought it was an Oni book, and then I realized it was an Image book.
Yeah, it's an Image book. It is fantastic. Guys, that is our Top of the Stack. Got a couple announcements to roll through here. We are now proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of some of the best comic podcast comics podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network
and find
more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. Thanks to all of the forum posts this week. Great job, guys. Really appreciate it. Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com. Check those out. Please give us your input, questions, comments, and we will try and get them into the show. Our July-August contest, Write Tom's Comic, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. Please check that out. We got one more week on that. The Listener LCS Challenge, please download our flyer, put that up in your local comic
just
shop.
Just tape it right over any criminal flyers that you see. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Ed. If you do so, send us an email. We'll mention you and your comic shop on the show and put a link to the shop on the on aroundcomics.com. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. Vote for us at
iTunes.
Leave a review, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, youbuynow.com. I'd like to thank everyone today. John, Mike, Crank, Dave.
Thanks for hosting.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, anytime. You guys, you guys are at least 2 hours a week of entertainment for us. I put the review for Crankcast. You guys are the best morning radio show in Chicago. It's once a week. I listen to Crankcast on my way to work, and better
than more polite Howard Stern.
Yes. Well, no, not even nearly as polite as Howard Stern. But please, Crankcast, a shout out for you guys, Crank. Give us the Hollywood pitch.
Huh?
Crankcast.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted to ask me where they can find us. I see. I'm a little slow tonight. It's .com or .net. Crankcast.com, Crankcast.net.
All right.
Crankcast is some of those entertaining comic talk about nothing you can find. And John Suntress, if you're not listening to Word Balloon, man.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, get out from under the rock, damn it.
Everything's fine. Everything's good. Thanks for
thank you. What is the oddest pitch for one show?
Everything's
fine. I thought ours was bad.
It's all good.
I they're one-on-one conversations with creators like the guys you just heard, like Norton, who's done one, and we'll do another soon. And Chris, I'm happy to have you on. And also, I got to get more Devil's Due guys on. In the meantime, I've had Bendis on. We just wrapped up the Bendis tapes.
Those are really good.
I appreciate that. I got Brubaker coming up as well. Okay. It might be on before you guys hear this one, depending on how fast me or Sal is. So, but also Ross Ritchie coming up, Matt Fraction,
awesome.
And the great Brad Meltzer. So there's a few that are coming up, and plenty freaking more. Good stuff. Thank you very much.
When are you getting Stan?
You know, when I have 100,000 listeners, then I can call Stan.
Sal, you got anything?
No. I've had enough.
You're just like sorry.
I got nothing. I don't. Yeah, it's another show. It's fantastic, wonderful, magic. Right. Love it. Woo! No, thanks everybody for being here. It was great. It was fun.
Thanks for being here. Thanks everyone for listening. Everyone,
send us emails.
Yes, emails and the hotline.
Send us a caller hotline. 1-888-65-GCAST.
Top of the stack. The first person to do a top of the stack call in, I'll send you a picture of Tom Cater, something like that. Please.
Wow. Autograph?
Wow. Yeah, really.
Everyone, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in...
And around comics.
Comics.
I'm still not saying that.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com. Or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for this show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.